Good morning. It's 9:12 a.m. on, I'm sorry, yeah, 9:12 a.m. on September 12th, 2018, and we'll call the City Council agenda meeting to order. We'll be led by our Pledge of Allegiance by Councilman McGue, and our invocation this morning is from Father Peter Kostakis, Prostamenos, right? All right, Prostamenos, with the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church in Mr. Kleiman's district. The father has been at the church since 2013, and he was ordained in priesthood in 2014. He was named Holy Trinity's presiding priest by His Eminence Metropolitan Isaiah of Denver in 2018. He grew up in New York and went to SUNY in Albany, where he studied Spanish linguistics and teaching. He taught Spanish at secondary schools, and he attended Holy Cross Greek Orthodox Church of Theology from 2009 to 2012 with a Master of Divinity. He was ordained to be a deaconette in New York in 2013. It's great to have a Yankee down here, Father, and all rise. Thank you. Please.
Mayor Rawlings and all the Honorable City Council, I'm very blessed to be with you to pray, and I just wanted to let you know that in all of the services that we hold at Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church, in all of our Vesper service, all our Matins, all of our Divine Liturgies, we pray for this city and every city, and we pray for all of those in civil authority. Let us pray to the Lord. Holy Master, who is above all understanding, who created all things, who loves every person, who know the hearts of each one of us, and who show ineffable compassion and love, fill our hearts with your joy and hope, and make the eyes of our heart receptive to your wonders. Strengthen all those who serve in this city and all in civil authority, and bless them that they may serve with health, safety, and honor according to your will. Bless the homes and families of all who live in this city. Protect this city and every city from every natural disaster and every calamity. Instruct us in the spirit of compassion to care for those in need. Grant peace to our lives and make our endeavors safe. In commemoration of those who 17 years ago yesterday fell in the acts of hatred, bestow upon them eternal rest. Place your hand of consolation upon their loved ones and those around the world who grieve and suffer continuously from injustice. Lead to repentance all those who do harm. Give forgiveness, growth, and holiness to all of us seeking your guidance. Purify our hearts so that we may be receptive to your direction. Draw us to your love so that each one of us respect the other as the wonderful works of your hands. For you are holy unto the ages of ages.
Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Would you please stay standing? Last week we had a terrible tragedy. Botham Beau Jean, 26 years old, the St. Lucia native, was killed tragically. He had adopted his home in Dallas, and his sister told me he tried to recruit his sister to move to Dallas. He loved it very much. He came to Texas after graduating from Harding University and worked at the PwC Tower in downtown Dallas. He was a great young man, a member of the Church of Christ in Dallas West Church of Christ. Our hearts go out to the family, Allison, John, Bertram John, Allison and Patrick Finley, the sister and brother-in-law, and Brant John in the community college, his younger brother. His service will be tomorrow at noon at the Greenville Avenue Church of Christ. I'd like to take a moment of silence in his memory. Thank you. God rest his soul. We have a Father Peter came because it is Greek food festival time, and Tina Yapanis, who's a friend to all of us, I'm going to have her tell us what's happening on September 21st to 23rd.
Thank you, Mayor and Honorable Council. Of course, this is that time of year where everyone gets their opa on, September 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. You know, the Greek Orthodox Church of Dallas started their journey here at Riggs and Sanger in 1915, which is 103 years ago. And our food festival is celebrating its 62nd year. In each of our moves, we've always remained in the city of Dallas because that's where our heart is, the city of Dallas. And under the guidance of Frank Michalopoulos and a number of other of our leaders, Jimmy Kristen and Mary Ann Michalopoulos, we built a beautiful home at Hillcrest and Alpha. And we have great representation with our Honorable Lee Kleinman, who is always there for us, and we are very thankful, along with many of the others here around the horseshoe. So we hope y'all can come out and visit, and also we brought y'all a few little treats that you can have with your coffee. And once again, the great thing about this city is the fact that we have the diversity and all of our uniqueness is celebrated. So thank you again, Mayor, for having us, and God bless y'all all.
Thank you, Tina. Mr. Callahan, Ms. Gates, and myself were at the Communities Foundation this week. We were announcing the 10th annual North Texas Giving Day, which kicks off this Thursday. Last year, 76,000 citizens participated, donating almost $40 million, benefiting 2,700 charities. This started, and there was $4 million a year, and now we're up to $40 million. So it's a great day, and I ask all to participate. Go online to the North Texas Giving Day and make your donation to your favorite charity. It's a great act. With that, Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you very much, Mayor, and I want to thank Tina and Father Peter for coming today and giving our invocation. While we sometimes face tough time and solemn times in the city of Dallas, we can't lose sight of the fact of all the good that goes on in this city. Our religious institutions provide so much for us, so much support and so much love, and the Greek Orthodox Church, amongst many, provides community and love and outreach and helps us solidify and bring our community together. So I really want to thank you very much. This is a festival of joy, and it is fun. And I can't say enough thanks to how you have impacted not just my area, our neighborhoods, but the city at large. The church has always been engaged with the community and always been engaged with the locals. One of the best neighbors anyone could ask for gives us, for example, the trail runs right behind the church, and the church gave us an access point right through their driveway. I mean, just always wanted to do for the city and for the neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And it's just a shining example of the many, many communities, organizations, and religious institutions we have in the city to provide that support network that we all need in times of sorrow and tough times. Nevertheless, this will be a great weekend. I encourage everybody to come and share the love that they're extending to our community. So thank you very much for
being here. Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Again, Tim, I want to thank you for being knowing you for over 45 years and your dad. So the Greek church has been a great privilege for you. And are we giving back to the community. The festival is a great festival. If you have never been there, you need to go. Make sure you go to the dentist after you leave.
That's great. Thank you. We'll take over microphone speakers.
Thank you. We did have one cancellation. Therefore, your first five registered speakers will be Richard Sheridan, Eric Williams, Robert Ceccarelli, Todd Smith, and Diane Ragsdale. I'll recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the City Council shall be removed from the room. Individuals are given 3 minutes to speak. You notice the time at the podium. When your time is up, please stop. Also, address your comments to Mayor Rawlins only. If you have any handouts, go ahead and hand it to the officer to my left and your right, as it will affect your speaking time. Your first speaker, Richard Sheridan.
Yes, good morning, Mayor, City Council. Richard Sheridan, 3817 Vanette Lane, Dallas, Texas. Very serious subjects. One obviously concerns the police situation, not just what's going on today, but what's been going on for the last 5 or 10 years, the diminishing the understaffing of our police department. So Dallas budget must adequately address our police and poor communities' need to obtain a much safer city, because it takes both to address the needs of the poor and also the police that interact with the criminal elements. Especially at city budget time, when our city allocates our revenue to Dallas various needs, it becomes very apparent that we are seeing a tale of two cities. We are seeing a continuing war between the North and the South, between the rich and the poor, the continued misallocation, misappropriation, and showing favoritism to commercial interests. Our revenue has resulted in at least four crises today, including police protection and crime, homelessness, affordable housing, and childhood poverty. 30% of families live in poverty. Then there was a misappropriation of hundreds of millions of HUD monies for at least a decade, which should have gone to racial desegregation, while in fact it was doing the opposite. We'd be a lot further along with affordable housing, and affordable housing and homelessness obviously go together. But let's not forget Dallas spending $200 million on the two Calatrava bridges, one going to cost more money to fix, and they serve really no useful purpose for the poor. And then there's the $250 million for downtown parks, where there's certainly a much greater need for such parks in the southern sector. So we must change the Dallas culture that causes this, and I believe one of the underlying causes is racism. There's no question about that. I live in District 4, and I lived in District 7, and I speak to a lot of the community. So, again, we no longer live in a safe city. This comes to me from Nick Novello and also from other police officers. Some have appeared here a couple years ago saying we are really a dangerous city now. And it was good that you came up with a good competitive raise, but we need a number of police officers, and I think 250 is a good start. Looking at the budget, it's been said that 60% of the general fund is for public safety, is for the police department, but when you look at it, the big picture of the total budget, it comes down to 13%. Former police chief Kunkel, excuse me, desperate people do desperate things, and we can't arrest ourselves out of crime. It shows the combination. We can't just come up with the best police force that we can afford. We also address the needs of the community, the poor community that have great needs. This is from a person that works at City Hall, and basically indicating that we need a sales price to close your law, because right now we are seeing undervaluation of commercial properties that could bring tens or hundreds of millions of dollars into our city and reduce the significant burden on residential.
Thank you, Ms. Sheridan.
Eric Williams.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor and City Council. My name is Eric Williams, former 2018 candidate for U.S. Congress. There is some hanky-panky corruption going on here in Dallas and at City Hall. Mr. Mayor, Jordan Edwards was my cousin. Both of them was not, but both of them were black, unarmed, and dead. Do the right thing and allow Chief Hall to do her job without any hanky-panky, sexism, interference, and Amber should be in jail. 1 year ago, I stood before this council seeking to close down the Grand Inn owned by a group of Indian nationals with little to no avail. Well, I'm back. Just about 8 weeks ago, directly across from the motel, a mother and her children were carjacked, and the carjacker was shot. He collapsed in the motel parking lot. Is this not enough? It has been reported and documented that former councilman Caraway received $125,000 in campaign contributions from the same Indian nationals who currently operate these hot sheet motels. These contributions appear to be rather suspect. Mr. Mayor, let me be clear. You, along with other council members, receive the same contributions from these same Indian nationals. They appear to be suspect based on the purge campaign finance reports I uncovered pre-purge. A 2006 report by the Texas House General Investigative and Ethics Committee on Abuses by the SAFE team and DPD said in their report that the criminal nuisance abatement program had turned into something like an extortion racket here at City Hall. We can no longer be drunk on your Kool-Aid and shucking and jiving in the southern sector, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, this is why we can't close down the Grand Inn. Blind eyes to inspections and suspect contributions point to some nefarious activities going on, and you're aware of it. On November the 17th, 2017, the city requested that the motel come into compliance with all 122 rooms by that date. It has not happened. It has taken 1 year to get a response to my FOIA request. Here in my hands are 200 pages of 911 calls, vice reports, and arrest records at the Grand Inn. If this motel was a rap sheet was a person, they'd be in jail. I'm asking the city to use its power of civil enforcement to put a stop to the habitual criminal activities at the Grand Inn Motel by filing an immediate nuisance abatement lawsuit under Chapter 125 of the Texas Civil Practice and Remedies Code and demo the site before it's too late. Presently, 200 children are now in the crosshairs of danger thanks to you, Mr. Mayor, and 34 registered sex offenders located directly across the street and around the corner. In closing, Mr. Mayor, you live in an exclusive Preston Hollow neighborhood. The covenant stated 10 years ago only occupied white peoples live there. Well, Mr. Mayor, my neighborhood is a neighborhood that needs peace. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Robert Ceccarelli.
Good morning, Mayor. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I just want to say something real quickly. I have a lady back there. She comes from the West End. She's been homeless for years and years and years. She's very, very mentally ill. Her name is Patricia. If you call Dark Police Mayor, they'll tell you that she has been homeless. She just came from the sixth floor. They're letting her go. She's not coming back. I'm trying to find two other females down there. I haven't been able to find them. They might be dead. Mayor Rollins, Sharon Grisby wrote an article about you, sir. And it has to do with winter's coming to Dallas and it's in a war with itself of sheltering the homeless. I just want to say this real quick about you, sir. It says, Mayor Rollins, please use the power of your office and your sizable connections to pressure folks to grow up and do the right thing. Improvements need to be made at all the corners if we want to be somewhere other than here when City Council resumes in January. I'm tired of all these meetings, committee meetings, housing needs meetings. Mayor, this lady is in dire need right now. She's not going to come back. I promise you. I had to drag her here. And this is what's going on. No one's doing anything about this, okay? The other lady, I can't find her, the one that was here a couple months ago. Mayor Rollins, people need your help, sir. You're at that church I saw you in Preston Hollow. You got several thousands and thousands of dollars for the homeless. You can do it, sir. You can do it. But you haven't done anything. And I'm only one who speaks at these meetings. There is no participation. There's no interest, Mayor. And it's time to act now. I'm tired of going to these meetings, the same old stuff over and over and over again. It's got to stop. Mayor, please help her out right now. I mean, if not, she will die, I promise you. I mean, I hate to say it, but I had to drag her here. And you call DART police, and they'll tell you how bad she really is. Now, also, Mayor, in today's article about the senior citizen, Remember, I was at the library. I had to correct you about permanent supportive housing and the transition of rapid rehousing. Robert Wolanski wrote about this before they got into housing today. So homeless people will be sleeping on mattresses of concrete beneath newspaper or cardboard bed sheets instead of tucking themselves into warm, dry, soft beds of their own. Mayor Rollins, what needs to be done? This money needs to be put to transition on rapid rehousing, sir. Why are you letting the homeless suffer while they're waiting for this housing? How many times I have to say it to everybody? I have to say it to MDHA. I have to say it to Homeless Solutions. I have to say it to you. This is no way to live. No way. And while you won't get credit for this, what are they doing before that happens? How many times I have to say it? How many times, Mayor? You know, it's got to stop. I'm the only one that speaks here. And I'm getting very frustrated about this. Okay? And there's a way of doing this, but please, I need to, there's a way of doing this, and I need more time, but please, Mayor, do something.
Thank you, Robert.
Karen Grisby.
Robert, would you bring your friend upstairs in that room, and we'll try to get a crisis manager to talk to her.
She needs help right now.
If you'll just go right outside, we'll try to get somebody there, okay? Give us a few moments, okay?
Thank you. Todd Smith has canceled, therefore we'll go to William Hopkins.
Mayor Rollins, I'm coming down here about 20 years. Ron Kirk, Let the People Die, Laura Miller, Tom Leppard. You've been knowing people dying in West Dallas for 7 years. I gave you this lawsuit they're handing out right now. We're going to do this again. Your family owns slaves. You got a black city manager and a black mayor pro tem. Now, they can't say nothing about this. By them being black and your family owned slaves, so I'm not even going to deal with that. Bo, they talking about this guy that got killed by the police. Do Bo parents know that you sued the police department, Mayor Rollins, to stop them from getting their pension money? Do Bo parents know that you sued when they were trying to get a raise maybe a week or two ago, that you voted no, you and Jennifer Gates and probably two or three others voted no for the raise for the police? The police have been treated like crap, and I don't know if Bo parents know the whole deal with how y'all treat the police. And when they were killed, some police got killed downtown. While someone was in the hospital, you still sued to stop them from getting their pension, stop from helping them getting well and taking care of their family while they had been shot in the hospital. Y'all sued the police, man, while some of the police was in the hospital had been shot downtown, Mayor Rollins. You pitiful, man. And
okay.
FBI, don't thank me, man. The FBI know that these people are dying. I told Michael Lewis and James Adams in the West End. The FBI know. The FBI, the fake news, the fake Dallas Morning News. I told the Dallas Morning News they know. But when the Dallas Morning News wrote about the lead in 2012, they didn't say nothing about the lawsuit that I gave the Dallas Morning News. They didn't say nothing about the lawsuit that when the city sued and got the money and letting the people die and gave some of the money to Fred Byron, Russell Budd, and Dorothy Budd. Nobody can't say nothing about that because they white. The media, they know. They can't say nothing because the people white. But if you black, you go to jail. Dwayne Carraway, even with that deal. Some of them same white people gave some white people on the city council money. But we don't know about them. They gave their money to charity, and we don't know their name. The fake media won't tell their name. We don't know who they was. All we know is about the blacks. Al Liscombe. Man.
Good to see you, Mr. Hopkins.
Diane Ragsdale, not present. Yvette Balazé.
Hi, how are y'all? Aye. All right. Well, the first problem that needs to be addressed here is this Deep Ellum Community Watch. You have police officers that are on the clock on there directing people, and they are continuously harassing people. You know, unfortunately, they were orchestrated and led by Councilmember Medrano, and officers like Jesus Martinez and Shane Owens felt that it was okay to injure and hurt people because they had that direction. This page needs to be made public. You have a media outlet named Central Track. They did a story about them and their harassment. They blocked the media outlet and then made their page private. So if these officers are on our tax dollars, then this needs to be open to the public. And the second point that I'm going to make about Deep Ellum and this whole mentality that Councilmember Medrano has stirred up, this vigilante mentality, these sidewalk cafes have allowed these businesses to spill out into the sidewalk, and now they feel like they actually own the sidewalk. It's a neat idea, and it's a great idea until it's not good anymore. And it's obviously not good anymore. You look at the different 911 calls and the different incidences and violence because of these sidewalk cafes in front of Anvil Pub and in front of Three Links. I mean, you know, the proof is in the pudding. I think that these sidewalk cafes need to be taken away. These people have been given a privilege that they've abused. They've been too ignorant to know what to do with this privilege that has been given to them, which is to own the public sidewalk. All right. So as y'all know, I'm an activist, and the way that I do express myself out there is I street perform, and I'm a hip-hop artist. So this is a mic, and I tell people out there that the best microphone to murder is, it's called murdering a microphone in hip-hop. The best microphone to murder is the 3 minutes that you have on the microphone at City Council and at County Commissioner's Court here locally. So I kill every single mic in my line of sight, and I will mingle, tell everybody, murder a mic. When a mic feeds dogs before humans a plate, I want to handle you raw. I swear I've never felt hate. Before I got to Dallas, Texas, now I'm a different kind of reckless. Nah, you can't wreck this. I get stupid with you on my plex list. My next list, you will reflect and respect this. When the mic thinks it runs the show, I have to murder that mic and let it know. A mic is making me censor my words. A mic is making my brothers and sisters hurt. A mic likes locking me up in jail. It's a mic telling dirty cops like Jesus Martinez to send her to hell. When the mic thinks it runs the show, I have to murder that mic and let it know. You're a dead mic. Yes, I'll go fed mic. I kill every single mic in my line of sight. I will mingle, tell everybody. Murder a mic. Thank you.
Thank you.
This concludes your first five registered speakers.
Thank you. We have, I wanted to tell the council that the lady that Ms. Chuck Riley brought in has been taken to Dallas Life, and she's getting some help. So thank you very much for doing that. Take up our first item.
Approval of minutes of the August 22nd, 2018 City Council meeting.
We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Your consent agenda consisted of agenda items 2 through 52 and addendum consent agenda item 1. Agenda item 6 is being pulled by Councilmember Kingston. Agenda item 16 is being pulled by Councilmember Kingston. Agenda item 25 is being pulled by Councilmember Grayson. Agenda item 28 is being pulled by Councilmember Grayson. Agenda item 43 was deferred prior to the meeting by Councilmember Narvaez. Agenda item 49 is being pulled by Councilmember Kingston. And agenda item 51 is being pulled by Councilmember Grayson. Therefore, your consent agenda consists of agenda items 2 through 5, 7 through 15, 17 through 24, 26, 27, 29 through 42, 44 through 48, 50, 52, and addendum consent agenda item 1.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. One of the things that we've been really working on as a city is to make sure we provide opportunities for everyone to do business with the city. So I want to take the opportunity to say that our MWB outreach efforts continue to prove great success. On this agenda alone, we have 26 new firms, MWB firms that are doing business with the city. I want to encourage our staff under the leadership of our chief of staff, Kim Tolbert, and the manager for diversity, Zarian Gracie, for their hard work. And we want to continue to work to diversify our contract and ensure that these firms and other firms have an opportunity to sit at the table. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Johnson.
Thank you. We'll now move to agenda item six. Item six, authorized payment to Dallas County for processing and maintaining city prisoners at the Lusterid Criminal Justice Center pursuant to amendment number four to the Criminal Justice Center Memorandum of Agreement with Dallas County, previously approved on June 11, 1997 by resolution number 97-1995 for the period October 1st, 2018 through September 30th, 2019, not to exceed $8,908,016. This item was pulled by Councilmember Kingston.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. McGue.
Move approval.
Second. A motion is second. Discussion, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. My concern over this contract, I recognize we're going to have jail services, and I'm all in favor of the county doing that. But our jail population is dropping. You know, we're probably sitting at 5,200. There's a lot of beds, a lot of space available. So I'm just concerned that it seems like each year the cost goes up, and that may be real. And if so, I support that. But I just wanted to let everyone know that that population is not what it has been. You know, there's been recent times in the past that's been over probably 7,000 people in that jail, 6,800, and that's just not the case. So that saves the county a lot of money by day, obviously, when those cells are empty. So we just want to make sure that the administration takes note of that. So I keep a pretty good tab on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The only reason I pulled it is just to, as we are approaching policy in a more strategic way with regard to housing, transportation, infrastructure, economic development, we need to have reliable jail services, which I think the county has pretty much provided for us. But our strategy ought to be to reduce the number of people we're putting in there consistent with public safety. So I'd like to see us have some discussions about, I'm not aware of the sort of long-term plan for reducing our jail population, and I think that ought to be a civic goal. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 16, authorize an increase in the construction services contract with Johnson Brothers Corporation, a Southland company, to expedite the completion of bond projects not to exceed $23,580,000. This item was pulled by Councilmember Kingston.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Kleiman.
Second.
A motion is second. Discussion, Mr. Kingston.
I think staff was going to bring me some more information about how this works. It's a large increase in the contract amount. It apparently comes out of unsold GO bonds. And while I'm super excited about anything infrastructure related that says expedite on it, my specific question is, where does the money come from, where does it go to, and what is the opportunity cost of doing this? Why wouldn't we have just sort of programmed this the way it is being proposed to be changed now?
Good morning, Mayor and Council Members. Magic Delgaffrey, Assistant City Manager. This contract will give us the opportunity to expedite future bond programs relating to the street proposition, as well as supplement the in-house staff in doing street and pavement repairs. So the work on the future bond programs would come in from cash and the commercial paper, and then when the bonds are sold, it will pay back on that one. So this is our opportunity to expedite projects that are in the 2017 bond program and get ahead of it.
So my question really, Mr. Al-Ghafri, is this is $25 million of approved bonds from the 2017 bond proposition. We published to the public a list of projects that supported the $510 million in streets projects. Which projects does this $25 million come from?
We do have a list of those projects that are in slated for 2019, scheduled for 2019.
So all this is just an acceleration of the 2017 bond proposal by going to commercial paper and then refinancing through the sale of GO?
That's correct.
Okay. That is excellent, and I really applaud you and your team for doing it. I could have gotten that answer yesterday, but we'll work on that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Felder.
So one of my questions was just answered with regard to the projects. But my other concern is the contractor is receiving an increase. How does that affect the subcontractors?
It would actually, the percentage for that change order would increase the subcontractor's participation in this. And actually, that would also increase the MWBE goal as well.
That's what I wanted to hear. Thank you.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 25, authorize the creation of the Dallas County Municipal Utility District Number 4 within the City of Dallas's extraterritorial jurisdiction that would include approximately 267 acres on property in Dallas County on the northeast quadrant of Barnes Bridge Road and Bobtown Road west of Lake Ray Hubbard. This item was pulled by Councilmember Grayson.
Mr. Kleinman.
Motion to approve.
The motion is second. Discussion, Ms. Grayson.
Yes, I just pulled this so I could vote no.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Callahan?
Yeah, I don't know why we just don't sell the property. I don't really like MUDs. We've got too many of them, so I'm going to be voting no, too.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed? We got three opposed. Thank you.
Agenda item 28. An ordinance amending ordinance number 30651, authorizing certain transfers and appropriation adjustments for fiscal year 2017-18 for various departments, activities, and projects, and authorize the city manager to implement those adjustments. This item was pulled by Councilmember Grayson.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. I move approval of item number 28, an ordinance amending the FY 1718 appropriation ordinance, originally approved on September 20th, 2017, with the following changes. In Section 1, Departments and Activities, on page 3 for Management Services, increase the budget from $28,680,392 to $28,880,392. To reflect $200,000 from contingency reserve previously approved by City Council Resolution 18-0773 on May 23, 2018. In Section 1, Departments and Activities on page 3 for City Secretary's Office, increase the budget from $2,622,414 to $2,695,826. To reflect $73,412 from contingency reserve previously approved by Council Resolution 18-1215 and 18-1216 on September 5, 2018. In Section 1, Departments and Activities, on page 4 for the general fund total, increase the budget to $1,288,486,300 to reflect use of contingency reserves previously approved by Council Resolution 18-0773 on May 23, 2018, and Council Resolutions 18-1215 and 18-1216 on September 5, 2018.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Discussion, Ms. Gates.
No, I'll let Ms. Grayson go.
Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to offer a friendly amendment to Councilmember Gates's motion. In Section 1, Departments and Activities on page 3 for Mayor and Council, delete the statement for the District Office Pilot Program of $250,000 allocated up to $10,000 for a non-city facility district office location. And that's for District 4, and the contract's been canceled.
Yep. Well, that's
A friendly amendment.
So accept the amendment, second. And then.
Excuse me?
Yes, I'm accepting the amendment.
Okay. Thank you. Further discussion, Ms. Grayson?
No.
Thank you. Mr. Atkins?
I just want to get a copy of it. You know, she read it. First time I said I need to give a copy. I didn't get one, so.
I believe it's exactly what was in the I just had to read it because we pulled it and had to make that change. So it's printed in your agenda
the
item.
The same one?
Except for Ms. Grayson. Yes. Except for what Ms. Grayson added. Okay. I just had to reread it because we were adding that portion. So.
Thank you. Anything else, Mr. Atkins? Okay, thank you. Mr. Kingston?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. May I address Ms. Grayson, please? Ms. Grayson, I take your friendly amendment to Ms. Gates's motion to reinforce the idea that we're not spending money on real estate for the district office pilot. We're only spending money on using city facilities and the proposal to add some personnel.
Yes, basically. Staff said that the contract for the non-facility space has been canceled, and so I felt like the budget needed to reflect that that was no longer in effect.
Okay. And Mr. Broadnax, management understands that and has a plan for complying?
I think that $10,000 is specifically for District 4. I do believe that there may be, I thought there was another off-site facility. I may be incorrect. So I don't think so, but I'm clear on that.
Okay. And Mr. Broadnax, I can understand in your position, this council has created some difficulty for you in implementing the district office program because we initially said very clearly we didn't want to use anything other than city facilities. And then because of the unbelievable campaign of whining and crying from one of us who is no longer here, we reversed ourselves. And so now we're reversing ourselves again. So you have my sympathy about the inconsistency around the policy on this. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Felder.
Yes, I have similar sentiments. I was one of the most vocal council members against going outside of city facilities to have a district office. And so I want my colleagues that are always talking about waste to please eat those words, because this is an example of waste. Now we have to pull it, and we lose money because of that. It was unnecessary to even start this. We should never have gone outside of city facilities just to appease one council member. And so I wanted to go on record to the public that Councilman Felder vehemently voted against it, and the council and all the others went against me and voted for it anyway. And so now we have a waste. Thank you.
Ms. Gates.
I'm just getting some information from Kim, but we pulled the contract, so there wasn't any money lost.
The bottom line is you still voted
Mr.
for
Felder.
It. I didn't.
Ms. Felder, do you want to speak in? Ms. Felder, thank you.
Well, I was just addressing, she made a comment to me, and she should have made it to you. She didn't get permission, so okay. I made it right back to her.
Thank you for that. I will be supporting this as well. Obviously, we were divided council on this, majority ruled, and that's how we got there. I have never seen so much time spent on $10,000 in my life, okay? It's fascinating. And I feel badly for District 4 because it's more symbolic. We're taking something away from them without a representative of that, but I think it's the will of the council to do that. So all in favor say aye. Oh, Ms. Callahan.
Yeah, I just want to say that I want to make it clear that some of us are going to probably have to go outside of city property, but it may not cost any money. So just making blanket statements that it's going to cost or this and that, I just don't really have any choices unless I'm going to be in a really tiny, you know, 4x4 closet or something at a library, because there's just no place to go. There's just no place. We've already done all the work. So I want it clear that it may not cost, but I'm going to have to go outside. Thanks.
Okay. So what are you trying to clarify with Mr. Broadnax?
Well, not with Mr. Broadnax. Mr. Felder seems to think if we go outside of city property that we're going to pay and it's going to be high and the citizen's going to have to eat the cost. That's what I wanted to be clear
about.
Got it.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Mr. Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to say that this was something that I had brought up last time around. I tried to do a friendly amendment and then tried to pass an amendment, and unfortunately it failed. And now the majority is changing its mind, which I think is fantastic. So thank you, Ms. Grayson, for adding this. I think I said some great things about you before, and I wasn't able to get it done, but you were. It looks like you're going to be able to get it done. As far as the size of a district office, two council members on this council share probably a 4x4 space that was a former closet at a rec center, and it's doing fantastic and just fine, and we didn't have to go out. It's not about the glory of the size of your office. It's about being able to make sure that we're getting to the constituent and working with them. And rec centers, libraries, if you can find a space, even if it's a closet, I think that's a fantastic thing to save the taxpayer money and be able to reach out to them. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion's carried. Next item.
Agenda item 49. Authorized renewal of the interlocal agreement with Dallas County through Southwestern Institute of Forensic Sciences at Dallas for the provision of forensic, drug, toxicological, environmental and physical evidence analysis and other similar medical forensic analytical services for the period October 1st, 2018 through September 30th, 2019, not to exceed $3,800,000. This item was pulled by Councilmember Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. McGue. And a motion and second. Discussion, Mr. Kingston.
I thought I had sent an inquiry in about the reliability and certification of this facility. Across the nation, forensic labs have been getting basically busted for bad results, and I was interested in what our error rate is, whether we have any concerns about the services that are being provided through this contract.
Mr. Fortune, could you come to the microphone? Oh, okay. Maybe Chief Hughes. Thanks. Sorry.
Just in response to your question, we looked up a couple of things just to make sure that we were all on the same page, because we are in agreement with you and understand the difficulties that some cities have encountered with their crime lab programs. Our contract with the Dallas County Crime Lab requires them to conform to professional standards, and the standards require accreditation, and their crime lab is accredited by ANAB and ASCLAD labs, as is ours with the Dallas Police Department's lab functions are certified by ASCLAD. The other thing is the Texas Forensic Science Commission regulates and approves the Dallas County Crime Lab. So as far as there's certain, not too familiar with all the requirements of ASCLAD and the other ones, but they come and they do the inspections and all of that.
But regardless, it's a national certification program that we're trying to comply with. Are you aware, Chief Hughes, locally or in any other jurisdiction where our forensic evidence has been used of it being successfully challenged in court?
No. I am not aware of a single instance off the top of my head in which we have lost a case as a result of the lab's handling of something that we've turned over for forensic analysis.
Sometimes you can win and the evidence still gets challenged, but you would remember if we had a problem with the evidence.
Correct.
Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. It's a big concern for law enforcement across the country to make sure that the labs, because not only is it is a problem in the evidentiary procedures when you go to court, but it can really undermine the entire law enforcement operation if there's lab problems.
Thank you, Chief Hughes. That really helps. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Before I move to agenda item 51, I would like to make a correction to agenda item 28, the amendment that was made by Councilmember Gates. In section 1, it was stated that the item was previously approved by council by resolution 18-0073 on May 23rd, 2018. The resolution number is 18-0072. I'll make that record.
Thank you.
Noted for the record.
Hearing no objectives, we'll take that as a motion and an approval. All right.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Broadnax.
Similarly, on that item, and I know council had some discussion about district offices, I'm trying to understand more clearly, and I didn't get back here before you voted, Councilmember Callahan's statement about potentially not being in a city facility at no cost to the city. I just wanted to clarify if that was something that council would allow to happen or not, because it wasn't very clear. If that's what your statement was meaning.
Well,
I'm back on the district offices again, getting clarification.
So we can't reopen the vote.
I'm not asking anybody to vote. I just wanted a clarification as it relates.
No. Okay, here we go. This is. We want to clarify. Everybody, drop him an email, okay, and just clarify, okay. That's all he wants to do. All right. Thank you.
Agenda item 51. Authorize a construction contract for the installation of a 36-inch diameter water transmission main in Pacific Avenue from Irvay Street to Pearl Expressway. S.J. Lewis Construction of Texas, Ltd., lowest responsible bidder of five, not to exceed $6,050,138. This item was pulled by Councilmember Grayson.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion from Mr. Kleinman.
Motion to approve.
Got a motion and a second. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I got my question answered, and so it was too late for me to put it back on.
That's all right.
Thank you,
Mr. Felder. One last question.
Yes. Zan Gracie to the mic, please.
Good morning. So can you name the five companies that bid on this, please? The five companies that bid on this?
Not at this time. I don't have my backup for this one.
Can you give me the MWB participation, please?
The MWBE participation on this item is 25.21%, okay, which exceeds the goal of 25%.
Good. Okay. So if someone could give me – oh, she has it.
Oh, thank you. S.J. Lewis Construction of Texas, ARC Contracting Services, LLC, John Burns Construction Company of Texas, Thale Construction Company, Texas Standard Construction. It's on the back of your agenda.
That's it. That's all I need. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We will now move to your items for individual consideration. Agenda item 53 is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. This morning we only have full council appointments. Nominees for full council appointment to the Reinvestment Zone 7 Board, Sports Arena, Jessica L. Jessica Lynn Sepulveda is being nominated by Councilmember Narvaez to the Reinvestment Zone 9 Board, Vickery Meadow. Judson Pankey is being nominated by Councilmember Gates, and to the Reinvestment Zone 13 Board, Grand Park South. Jason L. Brown is being nominated by Councilmember Felder.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. We've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 54, authorize the second step of acquisition for condemnation by eminent domain to acquire a subsurface easement located under a total of approximately 11,455,000 square feet of land located in Dallas County on Ross Avenue at its intersection with Washington Avenue for the Mill Creek Peaks Branch State Thomas Drainage Relief Tunnel Project, not to exceed $83,685. This item will require record vote.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Kleinman.
Motion for approval.
And a motion is second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Oh, we have to have record vote. Excuse me, record vote.
Please start voting. 10 have voted. 13 have voted. 13 have voted. All have voted. Voting in favor, Councilmembers McGue, Mayor Pro Tem Thomas, Councilmembers Gates, Felder, Kleinman, Clayton, Mayor Rollins, Councilmembers Narvaez, Kingston, Callahan, Grayson, and Atkins. Voting no, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano and Councilmember Griggs. The item passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Agenda item 55. Authorize one, the city manager to appropriate $1,500,000 in 2006 general obligation bond funds to the City of Dallas Urban Land Bank Demonstration Program for capital projects related to acquisition and disposition of unimproved tax foreclosed real property for the development of affordable housing or other commercial purposes in accordance with Chapter 379C of the Texas Local Government Code and two revisions to the Dallas Housing and Acquisition Development Corporation's bylaws to expand eligible housing types to include rental housing and to allow the sale of certain property to eligible adjacent property owners and for their commercial purposes, not to exceed $1,500,000.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Motion approved.
Second. Motion is second. Discussion, Mr. Felder.
Yes, can I get someone to come up and explain other commercial purposes, please? Give us definition.
Hi, good morning. David Noguera, Director of Housing. So the other commercial uses are typically things like grocery stores or community gardens, things that serve the surrounding community.
And just can you go into adjacent property owners? Can you talk about that a little bit, please?
Right. So the idea is that if you are living next to one of these abandoned lots, and it personally affects you and the value of your property. So this creates an opportunity for you as the adjacent lot owner to acquire the lot next door. And while you can't build on it, I think the provision is about 3 years, you can't build on it for the first 3 years that you own it, you can use it as an extension of your property.
Okay, thank you.
And it gets it back on the tax roll.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you very much. And thank you very much for coming to meet with me and explain this, I guess maybe convoluted is a strong word, but a complex transaction, and also helping me to understand that of all the potential uses that you could use this bond money for, in your opinion, this is the highest and best use of the money. So I appreciate that very much, and thanks for taking the time to do that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. I had the same question as Mr. Felder about using it for commercial purposes. Mm-hmm. Don't we have other funds in the city that would be available to do things like grocery stores and those other kinds of uses? I understand they make stronger neighborhoods, but I thought this was to provide housing.
Yes. So housing is the primary purpose, but the Texas Land Bank statute allows more than housing. So to the extent that the lot is located somewhere where it may be appropriate to have a commercial use, we have that flexibility.
Okay. It just seems like we ought to have housing funds for housing purposes and other funds we use for commercial purposes. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I actually think that the land bank statute probably meshes better with our current affordable housing regulatory environment by allowing that flexibility, simply because most of these properties are in areas that would be precluded from affordable housing if we just looked at the regular HUD guidelines because of the existence of concentrated affordable housing near them anyway. And so having a little bit of flexibility, I think, stands at least a small chance of creating that kind of community reinvestment atmosphere that the Supreme Court case mentioned that would be an exception to the rule against concentrating poverty. The other thing that I'm kind of excited about is that this council has struggled with how to deal with these properties for a long time, and we have continually acquired. And you can actually tell which properties these are when you drive around in the neighborhoods where they exist, because we're the only ones who actually maintain them. So you see a vacant lot that's clipped, you know that's a city lot. You see a vacant lot that's not clipped, that's a problematic landlord somewhere. So I don't know how successful you're going to be, Mr. Noguera. I mean, I think it's really difficult. But for this amount of money, I'm willing to give you a little bit of flexibility and see what the experiment produces so that hopefully we can recreate it in a broader way. Because this is a sticky problem for these neighborhoods that are beset with houses that have either fallen down or been demolished by us. It's not a good look for a neighborhood to be, you know, driving down the street and every third property is vacant. It gives the sense that people don't want to be there, and that's not true of the people who are still there. Right. So good first step, and I think what you're hearing from the council is if you use this money in a creative way that doesn't produce the right outcome, they're going to be upset, and if you use this money in a creative way that produces some improvement, then you're going to be given more leash, which I suppose is not, hopefully it's encouraging enough for you to continue to do your job. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Felder, second round.
Listening to my colleague, Ms. Grayson, talk about this, I just don't want us to go into a path where we don't intend to go in terms of commercial, because we do need affordable housing. And so what I'd like to explore, and I'd like someone from legal to come up and bond, to see if we can cap the amount of money that we possibly could use on any commercial acquisition. Because I don't want us to start saying, well, okay, well, we started a land bank that was designated for affordable housing, but we do have this loophole, and we begin to go down that commercial path. It's okay to a certain extent, but if it gets to be, hey, more commercial than it is affordable housing, we have defeated our purpose. So I would like to get some guidance on that with regard to putting a cap on the commercial piece, mm-hmm. and make sure that we stay on the intended goal, which is affordable housing.
Right. If I could just make one comment.
Absolutely.
Any properties that the land bank looks to acquire would come before council. So you will know ahead of time, before we make any decisions on what to purchase, what we're looking at and what that intended use would be.
Well, I would venture to say that some of the council members don't have the issues in terms of affordable housing that me and other colleagues have. And so They may not as be as sensitive to it. As a matter of fact, they won't be as sensitive to it as some of the rest of us are. So can I get someone from legal, please, and someone from bond to give me some guidance on this?
Member, you could cap it if you desired, if the council desired.
I'd like to cap it, yes. Okay. What is the process to do that?
The statute gives Wyeth the authority, just as a land bank may acquire and sell to a developer property intended for commercial uses. So there is no parameter that you have to operate in. You just have to keep in mind that that would also affect the flexibility that we were just discussing for the housing program.
Okay. All right. Thank you. So, Mayor, may I address Ms. Grayson?
Yes.
Okay. So, Ms. Grayson, you know, I would like to cap it. You know, I think that it's a good thing to do so we don't go around, down the wrong path, and we stay on the path of affordable housing and not get into commercial development, because you're correct. We do have money for that, and we need to stay on our mission, which is to create affordable housing. So I would like to cap the commercial piece at 25%.
Thank you. Thank you. You done?
That is a motion.
Okay, that would be a substitute motion.
Okay.
And because Mr. Atkins made the motion.
Okay.
We've got a substitute motion. Is that motion in order financially? The cap at 25%. Okay, is there a second? Okay, Ms. Grayson seconds it. So we'll take that motion up first. Mr. Atkins, you done, Mr. Felder?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Mr. Atkins.
I guess, David, will you come forward? The question is, number one, the land bank, we do not have enough money in the land bank budget, right? Is that a fair statement?
Correct. This money would be used to acquire more lots.
And what we're trying to accomplish now is make sure the land bank stand on its own.
Yes.
That's correct. And in order for the land bank to stay on its own, that every piece of property got to come back to the city council to approve or deny. Is that correct? For sale.
Right. For it to stand on its own, we have to be able to sell the lots and use that revenue to...
Okay, and even though this is part of the housing, in some cases that it will might have to deal with commercial properties.
In some cases, all right. I would also like to say that depending on the size of the lot, building a residential structure may not be feasible. Some of these lots are very narrow, and you're limited in what you can do with it. But the ultimate goal is to get it back on the tax rolls and to eliminate the blighting influence.
And if we set a cap on the commercial property, 25%, what is 25% of what? What number will we be talking about? And that's the question I need to answer.
Well, that's to Mr. Felder. His motion is to 25% of what?
Of what?
Mr. Felder? And yeah, Mr. Kingston, if you could jump off. Okay, there you go.
So the $1.5 million that we have, the 25% would be 25% of the $1.5 million.
Okay. If we do 25% of the $1.5 million, how would that affect the budget? We are trying to make sure the land bank stand on its own. How would it affect also acquisition and also selling and buying property? I think that we as a council can look at this case by case, but I hate to put a limit on something that will put the land bank back to us to get more money to refund that. It was not be enough money to stand its own. I think that in the housing committee that we did talk about the budget. We talked about this X amount of dollars that we need in order for this to sustain the future of the land bank. So, colleagues, I expect you to really kind of understand the situation. But if it still got to come back to us case by case. But if we put 25%, I'm not going to be supporting the 25% because I don't want to kill the opportunity to make sure the land bank grow. according to the budget, according to what we might have in certain circumstances that we would lose that tool in the toolbox.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I'm like-minded with Mr. Atkins. I think that we need to keep that flexibility. David, there's clearly, I think, some examples out there like Bear Street and Lancaster and even Bruton Road and St. Augustine that have commercial components to it. I mean, I think the idea here was that in an area where there might not be any retail or personal services for barber shops, beauty salons, maybe a laundromat or something, this gives that flexibility so you can develop that community holistically. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's why I don't want to limit it, because I don't know. It may not hurt, you know, but it may. And I don't want to tie our arms behind our back, but we still have, you know, EcoDev to take a look at that, and then the council and their wisdom, they can decide to do that. Or you can go in with a planned development district and have that delineated. So I really don't want to do that. I don't want to tie our arms, and I don't think it'd be the right thing for us to do. You know, we just need to leave it as flexible as we can until we know exactly project by project what we're doing. Thank you for that response.
Thank you, Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I agree with my colleagues, Mr. Callahan and Mr. Kingston, that the department needs the flexibility to bring us projects when we look at individually and decide on their individual merits. I think it's important when we're looking at community building above and beyond just affordable housing that we have the flexibility that if we're looking at putting affordable housing in certain neighborhoods and, for example, it's a food desert, we need to have the abilities so that those folks that move into affordable houses have a place to buy food. So that's a commercial venture that would, I think, very well apply. The other thing in this particular item, I want to be careful that we're not making policy decisions on a ad hoc item-by-item basis. And if we want to restrict the housing policy to a certain amount, commercial versus affordable housing, we should do that in the housing policy and do that across the board for all of our housing policy budget and decisions. So let's let this one move forward so that they have the flexibility to build communities beyond just affordable housing. And let's address Mr. Felder's concerns about how much is going commercial in the broader housing policy, because I think that would be a better use of the our policy decision-making process. Thank you.
Mr. Kingston.
pardon me. Thank you. Mr. Nogueira, did you propose to spend more than 25% on commercial? Are we arguing about nothing, or is this a real operational constraint on the program?
So we didn't propose anything in particular.
Do you have a plan?
Yes, our plan is to purchase properties that are in the reinvestment strategy areas, mm-hmm. as outlined in the housing policy. Whether we're purchasing a commercial property or a residential property, the cost is still the same from an acquisition perspective, because it has to go through through the attorneys to complete the foreclosure. But the flexibility of being able to purchase either one lets us lets us alleviate lighting conditions.
The discussion is not about the use of the property you're acquiring as it is today. It's about the use of the property once there's construction, once there's a project. And so that's what Mr. Felder's talking about.
Right.
How much of this money are we going to spend to develop commercial purposes as opposed to affordable housing? Do you have a plan for that percentage breakdown?
So after we've acquired the property, we solicit proposals for them. So we won't know until developers express an interest in them for what they can become.
Okay. Right?
And that
given that uncertainty, my inclination is to provide you with maximum flexibility, because I don't know what it's going to look like either. As I stated earlier, no one has figured this Rubik's Cube out. So I'd like to give you as much flexibility as I can. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We seem to be divided, so we'll take a record vote on Mr. Felder's motion to cap it at 25%.
Please start voting.
12 all have voted. Voting in favor, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmember Felder, Grayson, Griggs. Voting against, Councilmembers McHugh, Mayor Pro Tem Thomas, Councilmember Gates, Councilmembers Kleinman, Clayton, Mayor Rollins, Councilmembers Narvaez, Kingston, Callahan, and Atkins. The substitute motion fails, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We'll entertain Mr. Atkins' motion. All in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed? Motion carries. This is a great accomplishment, Mr. Broadnex, and thank you to the staff. This is going to be a very important tool for us as we move forward in developing all of Dallas. Thank you.
Agenda item 56, execute the casting of lots to identify the recommended vendor resulting from tie bids on line one for bid BC1801 for a three-year master agreement for the purchase of heartworm medications for Dallas Animal Services. Butler Animal Health Supply, LLC, DBA Henry Schein Animal Health, and Midwest Veterinary Supply, Inc. are the two vendors with tie bids. The mayor will now select from the two sealed envelopes the winning vendor.
That's the item. Yeah, that's the one.
The mayor has to announce it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Winner is Butler Animal Health Supply, LLC, DBA Henry Schein Animal Health, line one.
Thank you. We'll now need a motion.
We have a motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 57, authorize a two-year Cotton Bowl Stadium use agreement with ESPN Productions, Inc., a Delaware corporation, for ESPN to conduct the ServPro First Responders Bowl game at the Cotton Bowl Stadium in Fair Park in December 2018 and December 2019 with specified National Collegiate Athletic Association football teams from the Big Ten, Big 12, Conference USA, or other conferences, including the advertising, broadcasting, news media, and promotion activities. Not to exceed $300,000.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Grayson.
Second.
Got a motion, second. Discussion, Mr. Atkins.
Yes, Ms. Grayson, thank you for moving this forward. I know last time we had a big debate on this, and unfortunately, you always said that institution knowledge is the best thing. It never should win at a 3-8 grant. It should always have stayed in the park department with appropriation. Also, Mr. Ronald, thank you for doing a great budget, because this item was in your two-year budget. There was money available to do the ESPN. Also, Mr. Clayton, Mark, thank you also, you know, that we do need to have to fill up the football stadium at the Cotton Bowl. And ESPN, $300,000 is a whole lot. But then, too, in order to look at the day after Christmas and our first responder, who would be able to go to the football game for free. I mean, that's a great activity. I think that there is always something the day after Christmas that the first responder need to go. I believe that this is something that the other city throughout America may be looking at this as a first responder to have a release after Christmas, something that would be no cost to the family. But also, I think that this deal with ESPN, which might be on the game on television the day after Christmas, but also will showcase the city of Dallas that we are looking out for our first responder, and I think it's a great deal. I would vote yes for this item.
Thank you. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. Question for TC. So following the last vote, did staff go rework this and find a different way to fund this?
No.
Find the money?
I'm going to defer to the park staff, but the funding was already in place. I think the understanding of the approach that was taken to use the 380 vehicle, I think in some confusion that it caused as it relates to the history of this item coming forward like that, there was a understanding gained that it did not
need to go through the 380 process anymore, and could be done similarly as they do other agreements for bowl games.
So what's the advantage of not using the 380 process? Why change this?
I can't speak for why we ever started to use the 380 process in the first place. If we've had a process that would have been more streamlined, that would have been recommended by me probably in prior games, but I can't speak for history. I'll defer to Willis and his team.
TC asked, what was one of the motivations for changing the strategy? I'm asking about the change of the strategy, not if you had to redo things again and add lessons learned. Why'd you change it? What's the difference?
I can't really speak to that, Council Member, other than the fact.
Can I help you out, TC? How many votes are needed to pass this?
As always, more than 8 and or 8.
Okay. How many votes were needed before?
I believe since it was a 380, it was a three-quarter vote. Okay. Because of the criteria that it was not within alignment with the 380, rules and procedures.
Okay, so helping you out here, TC, because I think you already knew all this, but before it needed a supermajority, is that correct? Under the 380 approach before, and there were not the votes to pass it? It did not pass?
Well, Councilman, I don't think it got deferred.
It got deferred?
Yes.
Okay. So I just want everyone to know, the public to know, there were not the votes to pass giving this money to ESPN and Walt Disney to put on this game. And so what city staff did, hard at work with the attorneys, is they redid the whole program so it would only need a simple majority. That's what they did to get the money. The whole reason this is back and why there's not a vote the other way is because the other way needs a supermajority, and there's not the votes here. So I want the public to understand the extraordinary lengths the city of Dallas goes to give ESPN, which is owned by Walt Disney, money to put on a game the day after Christmas that really has terrible attendance. Last year we saw that the game was held between a team that was 6-6 and 7-5. And so this really is a complete waste of taxpayers' money. This is Texas, the home of Friday Night Lights. If you've got to supplement a game to make it happen, maybe you shouldn't be having that football game. This is Texas, after all, the home of football. This game is such a failure that ESPN doesn't want to put it on unless we write them a big check. And I'm completely opposed to this. And what's even worse for this is how we've renamed the game. We've renamed it the First Responders Bowl. This is nothing but a prop. This is a cheap advertising gimmick. We need to hold our first responders in high respect. If we had a game with two really championship-level teams with great winning records, that's the game we should call the First Responders Bowl, not this game. This game is, we should not use that title to prop up this game that no one's going to watch the day after Christmas, that we know gets terrible attendance, that ESPN doesn't want to put on without getting a large amount of money. There's much better ways to help Fair Park and to help the community around Fair Park with this money than putting on this football game. And what I am grateful for is that we didn't go all the way and hit rock bottom by calling this the First Responders, Veterans, and Orphans Bowl. That's really what this feels like. I won't be surprised if this continues with its past, how it really hasn't succeeded this bowl game. We come back and we call this the First Responders, Veterans, and Orphans Bowl, and just make that plea to prop up this bowl that we shouldn't be subsidizing with taxpayer money, and that we shouldn't see city staff working with the city attorney's office, working with the park department to just redo this deal so it doesn't need a supermajority. Under state law, if they did this as a public-private partnership, they need a supermajority to do this because the state is trying to protect us from ourselves and giving away taxpayer money to a large company like Walt Disney that owns ESPN. Really, with all the need at Fair Park and all the buildings and everything around it, we need to write a check to Walt Disney to put on this game? Come on. I mean, doesn't Mickey Mouse have a little bit of money in his pockets? It just makes me think
that if your name is Walt, your first name, and you want to do something at Fair Park, the checkbook comes out. So I'll just say, I'm not lucky enough to have Walt as a first name on this, but this is an absolute embarrassment, both this item and the next item. It's a terrible use of taxpayers' money. It's also a terrible use of honoring our first responders with a bowl game that's tier six, tier seven, usually with one team that breaks even and another team barely with a winning record. I mean, this is Dallas. We can do better than this. This is terrible. We're hitting such rock bottom. And the only better thing I see is that we didn't go so low to call this the First Responders, Orphans, and Veterans Bowl. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, Mr. Kingston's up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I agree with Mr. Griggs, and I thought I would look to see what Mickey Mouse has in his pocket. And fiscal year ending 2017, they're about to release fiscal 18 numbers, so I don't know where they'll come in. But fiscal 17 was a bad year for Disney. They only had $55 billion in revenue, free cash flow of a paltry $8.7 billion. So in case anybody wants to know how much money Mickey has in his pocket, it's billions and billions with a B. I would also point out that while it is clear that ESPN has insultingly pandered to people by attaching the first responder name to the game, and that is terribly insulting. And I don't say that from my perspective. I hear that from first responders. What this bowl really should be called is the Participant Ribbon Bowl. This is the dilution of the college bowl system. We are participating in ruining the bowl system. There are far too many bowls. It used to be that everybody wanted to have their own bowl because it helped promote the idea that you would build your own stadium. And then there were all these cush positions on the board of the game. But we're not even getting the patronage benefit out of this. We're just giving the money away to Disney rather than put together a fake made-up bowl. But really, fans of college football know that this kind of a game is really hurting the system. It is causing universities for which football is a real drain on academics to focus more on football than on academics. And I don't really want to be complicit, particularly not with the tax dollars of the city of Dallas, in the dilution of the bowl system and the continued focus on athletics over academics. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Callahan.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor. Dallas has had a bowl game there, I guess, since 1937, probably missed maybe a few years, possibly during the war, and then possibly even, you know, between times where the Cotton Bowl Athletic Association took their bowl game to Arlington. If we buy into these really bottomless arguments, you know, you're going to have a big padlock on the gate over at the Cotton Bowl during the holiday season. You're going to have the lights turned out. This is an opportunity for student athletes to get to play, number one. It also allows us an opportunity to stay in the game for another couple of years to where we can bid up and get to a better bowl game. It also provides for parking and concessions. Mr. Winters has said it very clearly that we've had as high as 48,000 people there one year with Oklahoma State there. We've had an average, I think, of 28,000, so even good and bad years, I think it's been generally favorable in spite of the low number of the rankings by the bowl or the rankings by the leagues that basically provided teams. But I do think we'll have a better opportunity. I disagree with Councilmember, you know, saying that that nobody watches this. You know, the numbers are 2 million people. Let me say that again: 2 million. That's a lot of zeros watching this. So
the only game on. It's the only time slot day after Christmas. There's no other pro game. There's no other college game. There's nothing else to watch on ESPN. 1602, if you're looking at your AT&T U-verse dial, that is the major ESPN. This isn't ESPN education or ESPN, you know, news or anything like that. It's not even the sportness. You know, it is a major ESPN. So this is a grand opportunity for Dallas. It also allows people to fly into Love and DFW. It also brings renters for the hotels. The hotel industry does well. We get hotel motel tax funds from that. We get rent-a-car tax, which is also on the hot tax. People spend in stores and restaurants. But instead, if you buy into these arguments, you're going to have – it's going to be dark down on Commerce and Elm and all the downtown areas because nobody's going to come here unless you're talking about the Arlington Bowl game. So Dallas has a choice to make. You know, we keep talking about Fair Park and we want to revive Fair Park. I believe that we stay in the game to play for an opportunity to continue to push Fair Park, which we all believe in. It's very meaningful. And then in a couple of years, we get to a better bowl game. I really, really believe that Dallas, Texas, a shining star across the nation, one of the most, 3.9% unemployment. I mean, this town is on fire, and I really believe that we can get to a better place with people that are going to come to that game. It's regrettable we had bad weather last year. We had really two good teams, though. You know, we had Utah from the Pac-12, and we had West Virginia from the Big 12. So those are two very well-known teams that are, you know, historically pretty solid. But unfortunately, they kind of had a mediocre year, so their fans didn't travel as much. But I do think that in the next coming years, we're going to have a bowl game that we can really be proud of. Again, if we don't stay in the game, then ESPN, they're going to take this thing to Austin or they're going to take it to some other city, and Dallas is going to be the loser. You know, we keep some way finagling ourselves out of business by saying, you know, we can't do this, can't do that. That's why that stadium's in Arlington to begin with, because we didn't have the political courage or the will to say we want that stadium in Dallas, Texas. So that's on us. But we can do a do-over, a rare do-over, to try to make good on keeping the Cotton Bowl viable. And I'm going to support it. I think the 380 mass is a disaster. It's just unfortunate that the staff chose that way to go. It was incorrect in the first place. These are park monies. These are leftover revenues from parking and concessions. That's their money. Park money has nothing to do with 380 and Pilot and your water bill. Nothing, folks. Nothing. It was erroneous. It's a misrepresentation to have this on the agenda. This is about park money reinvesting in a park asset. They reinvest and they market their golf courses, their tennis centers, their swimming pools. They do this all the time, and they probably spend as much as that $150,000. This is paltry money when we've got a $2 million audience and a walk-up and keeps us in the game, folks. $150,000, that's all we're talking about. And a budget that is gigantic. That this is very small potatoes, and if the park staff and the park board is for it, then this council ought to be for it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a question about the title First Responders Bowl. Is there like a donation to somebody, or is there a 501c3 that's receiving some, or is this just a named?
This Willis Winters Park and Recreation. So the previous title is Heart of Dallas. That was a nonprofit. Oh, here comes someone.
Hello, Brant Ringler, Executive Director of the SERPRO First Responder Bowl. We are not a 501c, obviously, because we're owned and operated by ESPN. But there are mechanisms that we will be sharing dollars with nonprofit organizations. We're still aligned with the Heart of Dallas Foundation, in which we provide them monies. In fact, we provided over $500,000 in the last 3 or 4 years. Those monies go to different charities throughout the city, and some of them are aligned to first responder initiatives. In addition, all our corporate partners underwrite tickets for first responders to come to the game for free with their families, and so we will continue giving out thousands of tickets that way as well.
So the answer is no, there's not a specific charity that related to first responders receiving money on this.
We work with various organizations, Guns and Hoses, various other organizations
okay, so
as well.
Y'all,
so we don't align with just one. We
how
want to cover more.
How much have y'all given to Guns and Hoses? over the, how much have y'all given to Guns and Hoses over the period?
I'd have to look at all our numbers, but we've given them multiple dollars.
All right, thank you. You know, in my opinion, this should be named the Indentured Servants Bowl, because students generate millions and millions of dollars for universities and for the media while they do not get paid for their work. They get paid room and board, and rarely, almost never, graduate or get guaranteed a degree or an education. And I just can't, I just don't feel like we should be propagating that, especially in kind of a nobody bowl. I just can't support it. To me, it's similar to the Film Commission. I just don't see where it benefits the citizens of Dallas. I think there's a much higher and better use for $300,000 of park funds, particularly in the Fair Park area. And we are getting ready to sign a contract that will enable with Spectra, or we're considering a contract with Spectra that actually maybe could at least bring a decent bowl game in. So, you know, I was very supportive of this when it first came out as the Heart of Dallas Bowl. Went to all the festivities, even went to one or two of the games, really tried to see Fair Park and the Cotton Bowl benefit from this game, but it just failed. I mean, it just did. It was an experiment. Okay, great. We try new things. If they don't work, we shouldn't propagate them and keep them going. So I think there's just a higher, better use for $300,000 in the park department than spending it on this game. Thank you.
Mr. Clayton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm going to be in support of this. I think to Mr. Clement's point, I think there's a fair point there. I think it's kind of in the scenario of good, better, best. I think if the original contract, I don't think was in the best interest of the city because there wasn't a way to make it pencil. I do think, and I think to the credit of Monica Paul and some others and park staff, at $150,000, you know, we stand to make a profit. In our worst year, with our worst audience, with our worst weather, we lost, in this new contract, we would have lost $60,000. And, you know, the reality of it is we can't wish to have Ohio State come down. You know, I wish Baylor would get a winning record, but I can't wish that either. But it's like you get who you get. And if we get, you know, if we get Oklahoma State and you have 50,000 people there, not only do you keep the lights on, but you make a profit that goes into the general park fund. And so I think it's a good contract. I do think we're at a crossroads because I think probably there's a different culture down here in terms of what we want to spend money on. And I think for both the ESPN and also in y'all's efforts, understanding that it's not going to be that you can't always count on the city giving a check. You know, I think that's going to require, you know, doing more. And that's hard because it's not easy getting sponsorships. It's not easy getting people in the stands. It's not easy getting people travel when you're in contracts with the, you know, the Big 12 and others. But I'm definitely in support, and I hope council will be too. I mean, we're going to profit on this contract over a two-year span, so it's just investment spending, and I think it's a good deal. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Just a couple questions, you know. Hey, you know, I just want to kind of clarify, you know, we talk about football players who go and play in games and stuff, talking about academics, scholarship, education, and I just wanted to, can I address Mr. Kingston?
Please, if you do it the right way.
The right way. He said football players over academic, and I just want to let him know that SMU, the school I went to, if you did play football 4 years, you did not graduate, you can go back and get your diploma free. So a whole lot of universities out there do recognize academic. You know, all football players are not stupid, you know. They go to school. Some parents cannot afford the players to go to school, go to college. They play football. They go and be doctors, engineers, attorneys, or whatever. But this is an avenue for players to get a free education to Harvard, Yale, or wherever to get there. And it's also about partnership, learning about people, learning about the game, but also about Southern Dallas, you know. ESPN, we don't know who might be there, you know, on December the 26th, but you might have a great team there, a team that would travel. We don't have a crystal ball. It might be a day that everybody want to go to a football game. It might be 50,000 people out there. I guess the question we're asking, how many football games do we have at the Fair Park a year?
We have 6 high school football games scheduled last weekend. Then you have Texas OU and you have Grambling Prairie View. And this year we're going to have Southern and Texas Southern.
So you have roughly 12 games a whole year?
Yes, sir.
12 games out of the whole year at the Cotton Bowl. And we just put a brand new football field in the Cotton Bowl, right? And how much did we pay for that field?
$250,000 for the field turf replacement.
Turf replacement. And we probably got one of the best soccer fields in the country, right? Is that correct?
We do, yes.
And so with this field, with advertising, with ESPN, doing the marketing, first responder, and I'm not going to put a back slap on the first responder, but also it's still opportunities for people to get out on Christmas, day after Christmas, to go out and enjoy a football game. We are in Texas. We are in the football capital of the world, Texas. And I take a pause that we try to throw football as a negative. It's not a negative. It's also been jobs, concession, parking. We just put money in over at Two Partners Barbecue. We put money in Two Partners Barbecue, and they're going to make money because people are going to go there and spend their money right there across from the Cotton Bowl. So, colleagues, I understand, you know, Mr. Kingston, Scott, I do understand your part about this. But let's get it right. 2 million people who might see the game on TV, who might see their football team, it might be the right team to come that travel, that will bring more money to the hotel, the restaurant. We don't know until we pick that right team. And ESPN don't know until that right team. It might be a team that might be 4-5, but might be the best team that have a travel squad to come there. But again, you know, we had the same discussion about the other football team stadium that Arlington that we did not talk about, but also we got a football stadium, the Cotton Bowl, that we got to fix up. I mean, we got to fix that Cotton Bowl up. And I remember that all the key techs and all you here, we had to go back and put money into the Cotton Bowl. And we also had to go back and make sure we give no more money to stay. They wouldn't be in Dallas. They would be over the Jerry World, but luckily we have a fair part that after the football game, they can join the fair and spend their money here and also stay. So if we're going to be serious about Fair Park, we're going to be serious about Southern Dallas, let us invest this little money into the Cotton Bowl, into Southern Dallas, to make sure we do have some jobs around there. There will be some jobs available for people who live in there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Narvaez.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think it's a shame that we changed the rules in the middle of how we were doing this because the vote wasn't going to go the way certain folks wanted this vote to go. That's a travesty to the public. That's a travesty to the people. We knew this vote was going to go down, and at the last ditch second, somebody threw a Hail Mary so we could defer this item. And now we brought it back, and it's a whole different game, a new set of rules. And that's a shame. Public, know what's happening here at City Hall. When it's not the way they want it, they are willing to do whatever it takes to change the rules. That is a shame. How many people watch this game? What is the daily viewership of ESPN?
In what respect, as far as daily
what's
viewership?
What's your average daily viewership?
You have to combine all the. There's no way I have that number.
So ESPN has no idea what their average daily viewership is.
I don't have. I can ask ESPN, but I don't have.
Where's ESPN?
Bristol, Connecticut.
No, I mean, where are they? Why aren't they here? Are you representing
ESPN?
ESPN,
but I don't have the.
So you're representing
of our
ESPN,
company.
And you don't happen to know what the average viewership
game.
Is of your
our bowl games
your
viewership
TV
is 2.5 million last year.
No, I'm asking about ESPN on average. What is the average viewership of ESPN?
I'd have to ask Bristol, Connecticut. They have the
well,
numbers.
I think you better get on the text somebody and find out. I've got 3.5 minutes, so text somebody and find out. We talked about teams that travel. And somebody mentioned that there was a team called Utah, and we know that they travel. But when their team was, what, 6-5, 7-whatever, mediocre, they didn't travel. They didn't come to Dallas. So that means we didn't get the hotel tax and the car rental tax and all these other things that everybody's saying that we're going to get out of this game, because mediocre teams, regardless of how popular of a team they are, they don't travel. I'm a UT Longhorn fan, and when we're doing great, people travel. And when the team doesn't do so hot and we get in a mediocre bowl, unless it's a local bowl in Texas, the team doesn't, the fans just do not travel at the high rate that everybody thinks. It's just the way it is. To call this the First Responders Bowl without even talking to the first responders in Dallas, to even set up something with them already, that who's going to get the money that's raised, it's a shame. This entire process has been a sham, and I'm saddened that the people are going to lose $300,000 that we're just going to throw away to a game that the public, the citizens of Dallas, when asked, don't even want. They'd rather that 300 grand be invested into something that's actually going to fix it. Mr. Winters, can you tell me how much, or where did this money come from, and what should it be used for? What could it go towards? What is the needs assessment in the Parks Department, and what could $300,000 fix, repair, replace, build? What could $300,000 buy us?
The funding, again, Willis Winters Park and Recreation Department, the funding for this bowl game going back to 2012 has always been in our general fund budget. So it was $800,000 a year originally. Now the proposal is that funding is being reduced to $300,000 a year. So, I mean, it could go towards recreation center hours, enhanced park security, park mowing cycles. It could be arrayed anywhere across
our
spectrum of our budget.
It could be arrayed for anything else, colleagues. We have crime in our parks, and we need more park rangers. We have rec centers that do not have enough dollars to support the number of children, senior citizens, et cetera, to participate in programs. We have all kinds of things happening in our parks department, and we decide, or we're going to decide, that $300,000 should be invested in a bowl game that isn't going to really do a lot of good for us. ESPN doesn't even know what their average viewership is per day. So is 2 million really? That could be the number of people. I'm going to go with the 2 million people is what probably turns on ESPN on a daily basis. That's probably the number of sports clubs that just have it on because they have subscriptions. They got to have ESPN on, period. I don't think we're gaining any benefit by having them having this game and giving them corporate welfare. ESPN doesn't need this money. So why are we taking this money? I would much rather spend $300,000 and increase our park rangers, increase fixing something else up, taking care of Fair Park has so much that it needs to be repaired. We're thinking about putting a contract with Spectra in the future. I think that they could bring us a much better game. I got people on this council that tell me all about, or they're always talking about soccer. How many soccer games have you all brought to the Cotton Bowl this past year or the past 3 years?
We have the Dallas Cup, and then we typically have two or three soccer games a year.
So two or three soccer games when we could actually get up to 12, 15. Soccer can be played a lot more time during the year, but we're focused on one football game. Colleagues, I think that this is a travesty. I think we could spend money better. And citizens of Dallas, remember this vote. Who's actually wasting your tax dollars? Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Just to clarify, Mr. Winters, how long have we been doing this?
Since 2012.
And we've been budgeting how much?
The original amount was $400,000 a year to be split between the two teams. This contract is for two additional years at $150,000 a year.
So we're going from 400 to 150?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Ms. Gates?
Thank you. Mr. Winters, I have a question. So when you create your budget for the park, when you create your budget for the parks and recreation, does that go before park board?
I'm sorry.
Does park board help you with that budget?
Yes, ma'am.
And you put this in your budget since,
yes.
I think
yes.
you
so
said 2000.
All the funding for this ball game has been in our budget, our general fund budget, since 2012.
And actually, when it first came to the quality of life, I think it was higher, and we asked you to renegotiate the contract.
It was. The original contract amount for the two-year extension, which is item 58, the item that was deferred. The original proposal when it came to quality of life was for $800,000 over 2 years, so $400,000 per year. Quality of life sent us away to negotiate a better deal. We reduced the $400,000 to $150,000 a year for 2 years for a total of $300,000.
So what did Park Board approve?
The Park Board also wanted us to – they challenged us to reduce the amount to ESPN from the city, but also to go to the Visit Dallas, to the Dallas Sports Commission, but specifically to the Tourism Public Improvement District and seek additional funding from them to fund this game. And that's – we did that. And they have committed additional funding on top of the 150.
So did Park Board approve it, or they never approved it?
I'm sorry.
Did Park Board approve it?
No, they did not. They just when they approved this deal, yes, they approved the $300,000, but with a resolution to seek funding from the
okay,
TPID.
Which is what you did. And then
yes.
Ms. Grayson, we in quality of life, we had you renegotiate. So.
Yeah.
A question on does the park dollars supplement those other games that are played, the high school games or the other college games? Not the high school games. How
yes,
about
ma'am.
The college games?
Yes, we have also general fund budget dollars to fund the Texas OU game and the Grambling Prairie View game.
Have any of this council ever asked you to cut those dollars out? No. So you and I think Parks Department and the Park Board wants to utilize the Cotton Bowl, correct? I mean,
absolutely.
Put money in the Cotton Bowl we put money in the Cotton Bowl.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
So why are we putting money in a Cotton Bowl if we don't want to have games in it? Is kind of a way I would ask. I see. I think we said this in quality of life. We did not feel like it had the dollar amounts associated with it that it was actually an economic incentive, but it was a position taken by your department that we needed to activate the Cotton Bowl. It was good for the neighborhood around it. It was unfortunately the only game we are able to get at this point. Because of decisions the city's made in the past, not to have the First Crate facility, but to just put more money in the Cotton Bowl. I'm going to have to respect your department, the way you've wanted to allocate these funds. I know there's options for the funds, but you want this game at Fair Park. And
yes, ma'am.
And you went out there and you got that, and you didn't have any direction not to have football games played in our city in the past. So it's interesting, this one. Do all the bowl games have some – are paid – all the conferences get money back for all the bowl games. Is that correct? Maybe ESPN can answer that. Is that – so even the games being played at Cowboy Stadium, are somebody's paying for that to the conference?
Yeah, there's millions of dollars going to the conferences.
Okay, so like this money, does it go directly to ESPN or does it go to the conference? The way it reads in
it
the
– goes to expenses, which an expense is paying.
And you
the
have to pay the conferences
yeah,
or
pay.
Have a fee
right.
that's paid.
Right.
So all games have this kind of are being paid for by somebody. So all right, thank you for answering those questions and with some reservations, but I'm going to have to go with that. You also negotiated this, and I think it sends a message that, when we've asked you to do something, you've gone out there and do it, then there's an expectation that we're going to support it at that point. So.
Thank you. Ms. Felder?
Yes. Yeah, so what is the annual revenue to ESPN?
The annual revenue for the bowl game?
No.
In total?
For the corporation.
The corporation?
Yes.
Again, I don't carry those numbers with me. I'd have to ask the, you know,
would it be?
I run a bowl game. I don't run ESPN.
I understand. Would it be fair to say it's over a billion?
Over a billion?
Yes, sir.
That could be the revenue, but I don't know what the expenses. I don't know if that's true or not.
That's fine. But ESPN is a billion-dollar corporation. Would you? Is that fair to say?
I assume that would be fair to say.
Okay. What was the attendance at last year's game?
20,000.
Yes. 20,000. What's the population of the capacity of the Cotton Bowl?
92,000.
92,000.
Correct.
So maybe 20%? We filled it about 20%? Correct?
Correct.
Okay. And would ESPN put this bowl game on without the subsidy?
Would they put it on without? I believe we're already committed to having a bowl game here this year.
I understand that. I just want you to answer the question as I ask it, please.
We're going to put this bowl game on, yes.
Would you put it on without the subsidy?
There will be a bowl game with or without subsidy.
Okay. Now, I heard a comment with regard to jobs. How many jobs are created in terms of part-time and full-time jobs?
I don't have the exact number with me, Councilman Felder, but there's jobs tied to concessions, there's jobs tied to food and beverage providers. And
it makes a difference because we need to be talking about ROI, return on investment. The taxpayers deserve to have information, and they deserve to have a validation of how their taxpayers' dollars are spent. These are taxpayer dollars that you're asking for us to spend. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So, are there concessions at the games?
Yes, sir, there are.
Okay. So I heard the comment with regard to one of the local restaurants, two partners. So, would you think that people would buy their food while they're in the game, or they're going to leave the game and go over to two partners and eat?
I think they're going to do both. They're going to buy food while they're at Fair Park, and then they're going to buy.
They're going to leave the game and go to two partners, which is outside the stadium, to eat, or they're going to buy their food at the stadium inside while they watch the game?
They could possibly, but I think the majority would buy the food inside the stadium.
Thank you, sir. All right. So, I'm listening to this, and then what is the economic impact of the surrounding community? I also heard that comment. How does the surrounding community benefit from this? Anybody?
The economic impact for the games were $7 million in 2017, $6 million in 2016, $8 million in 2015, and $15 million in 2014.
So tell me where in South Dallas that $7 million went.
I don't have the breakdown for you.
I didn't think so. I don't believe that there's been $7 million created in economic impact in the immediate area. We would see a big difference in the neighborhood. The bottom line is, I'm all for economic development, but when I hear statements that are disingenuous with regard to how the community is going to benefit, it really bothers me. Yes, there may be people that park cars. That's for the day of the game. That's it. Yes, there may be people that sell T-shirts and things like that. That's for the day of the game. Yes, there may be people that sell tickets and work in the concession stand. That's for one day. That is not real economic development return on investment. And so those are the sorts of things that we have to that I look at when I'm making a decision and when I'm supporting something. I represent the area. I represent that district. And I'm fighting very hard for that district to benefit. And so every time that something comes up that affects the district, I have, and I hear things, Mr. Winters, you just said $7 million, but you couldn't verify it. You couldn't quantify it. And no one has quantified any of the answers that I just asked. At the end of the day, I want to support things that have verifiable impact, economic development impact to the community. I'm hearing things about, well, people will go over to two partners. Well, I know Fred and James very well, and they've never told me. They said that the fair actually hurts them. They said people eat inside of the stadium as opposed to eating at their restaurant. So those are things that, we need to stop, trying to get people excited and think that there's a true economic development impact when it's really not there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Narvaez. Second round.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was able to Google the ESPN average viewership, and it's about 2 million on average the last 2 years, daily viewership. So we're not really increasing viewership by that much the day after Christmas. It sounds like, it makes it sound 2.5 million, makes it sound like this huge viewership, when in all actuality, maybe 500,000 more people across the United States clicked on ESPN because they didn't want to watch It's a Wonderful Life on TV. So I'm not buying that one. It's not really bringing more folks to look and see Dallas. Park Board, did the Park Board vote on this renegotiated deal, Mr. Winters?
The Park Board did vote on the original.
But not on the renegotiated deal.
That
so
is
it never
correct.
Went back.
That is correct.
That's a shame. Thank you, Mr. Winters. Here's the problem for what I see. Why is it that when we're doing something in South Dallas, Fair Park, that we sit here and we crumble scraps and expect everybody to get excited and to jump and be crazy about it? Why do the people that live around Fair Park have to get the scraps and have to be excited about, oh, we might get something. We might get some parking. We might get somebody to buy a pizza in my restaurant. We might get somebody to buy something at the gas station. Why do we think that that's okay? Fair Park and South Dallas should be demanding more. And this $300,000 could go towards a lot more to help the residents of Fair Park, South Dallas, than a bowl game where just a few extra 100,000 people watch it. And this is just a shame that we're changing the rules in the middle of the football game. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Kleinman. Second round.
Thank you. Just two quick points. One is that when we do economic development, which I realize is not this item, the next item, but it is the next item, and that's how it was brought to us originally, we always use the but-for argument, which is, but for the fact that we're deploying this money, this game or this project would not occur. We've just confirmed that this project is going to occur regardless of whether we deploy this money or not, so it fails the but-for argument. Secondly, I really hope my colleagues remember this conversation when I'm arguing against the money we waste on the Film Commission, because it's the same kind of deal where we're deploying money under some scheme of it's going to help the city to just some giant corporation that's just shaking us down. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Look, I think the debate about how we use our city's monies is always a good debate. We need to get into that. And it sounds like we've got difference of opinions on that. Throwing things around like indentured servants and anybody with Walt with a name is a greedy person, or fans of college football don't like this. That's just, guys, that's just not in the fairway. Mr. Atkins and I did not feel like indentured servants, okay? We couldn't afford to go to college. And it was through football that we put us through college. And I'm going to tell you, 2.5 million fans of college football watch teams like West Virginia and Utah. And I believe that it is a great use of the money. No one has really honored Mr. Clayton's math here. Net-net, this thing's costing $60,000 a year. We're getting that much impressions, and we're honoring folks that we believe should be honored, which, by the way, if you'd have come to the kickoff, there were a lot of first responders there, okay? And they were there, and they were appreciative of it. So I just, let's argue about how we should spend our money, not be throwing in these other things. And lastly, I just want it to be the will of the council. If the council wants this, it should happen. If the council doesn't want it, it shouldn't happen. And so please vote, yes or no. Record vote.
Please start voting. 10 have voted. 12 have voted. 13 have voted. 13 have voted. All have voted. Voting in favor, Councilmembers McHugh, Mayor Pro Tem Thomas, Councilmembers Gates, Clayton, Mayor Rollins, Councilmembers Callahan, Grayson, and Atkins. Voting no, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmembers Felder, Kleiman, Narvaez, Kingston, and Griggs. The motion passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. It is the will of the council. Next item.
Because 57 was adopted, we will not consider agenda item 58. We'll now move to addendum item 2. Addendum item 2 is an ordinance amending ordinance number 30878, passed by the Dallas City Council on June 13, 2018, which appointed certain persons as full-time and associate part-time municipal judges for a two-year term ending May 31, 2020, to fill one full-time municipal judge vacancy and two associate judge vacancies, providing a severability clause and providing an effective date.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. McHugh.
Move approval.
Second.
And a motion and second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Motion is carried. Anybody opposed? I'm sorry. Motion is carried.
This concludes your morning agenda.
Great. We'll come back at 1 o'clock. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Right now. Now we're gonna reconvene the office. Okay. Now I'm sorry. There are two ministers outside that said you wanted to meet with me as well. Okay. All right. Meeting's gonna be reconvening right now at 1:53 p.m. Okay. And we want to make sure that we do two things. That we get our business done today, and that we listen to everybody very carefully, because this is very important. Because of that meeting, I'm going to turn the gavel over to Mayor Pro Tem. He's going to go do that, and I'll be glad to meet with you. Thank you.
Dominique, the meeting has been called back from recess. We need to go ahead with the city's business. You know the procedures. You've been down here to speak before. Hold on, don't cut me off. You're out of order. We have a quorum, so we're ready to start the city's business. Now, as you know the process, you've been down here and signed up before. Anybody who wants to speak, you know you sign up. We have public speakers at the end. Everybody who signed up will have an opportunity to speak. So now we need to go ahead and continue with the city's business.
Mayor, move orders of the day, item 65.
You can speak. Nobody says you weren't going to speak. You have a chance at the end, at the end.
Orders of the day.
I'm going to ask you to go back to your seat. Item 65.
Thank you. Okay. Agenda item 6.
Ma'am, I'm sorry you're out of order. I understand that, but you're out of order. If you sign,
point of order.
You're out of order. There's a process and a procedure.
Point of order.
Security, could you ask her to step away from the podium so we continue the city's business? Councilmember Shumwell, thanks for being here. Can you assist her as we continue with the city's business?
Mr. Mayor?
We'll have an opportunity to speak.
Mr. Mayor, I have a motion. I'd like to move that we suspend the rules during open mic and allow anyone who would like to speak during open mic to speak so that everybody can know that when we get to the end of the meeting that they'll be allowed to speak so we can do our business.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? Ma'am, if you will listen, he just made a motion to allow everyone to speak.
Right.
We have to take the vote. We have a motion and a second. We suspend the rules. Allow everyone who is here to speak to speak.
During open mic?
This will be during open mic.
During open mic.
So I'm sorry, do I have the floor, Mr.
You have the floor.
Mr. Mayor, so audience, so you all and council, you will understand my motion was to suspend the rules for open mic. So during open mic, community, so you all know, we get a list of everybody who called ahead of time before 5 p.m. on Tuesday to speak. All those folks will be allowed to speak, and then, if you want to speak during open mic when it's all done, that's what I'm asking. I am more than happy to sit here till 2 in the morning if I got to hear all of y'all. So that's what I asked so that we can hear you. There was a second. And I hope that my colleagues will vote for approval for that. But what we need is for us to be able to conduct our business. We've got a few more items, and if y'all are able to let us go through it, and then we're going to give you everybody their time to speak. That's
point
my
of
motion.
Order, Mayor. There's a motion and a second.
Hold
on.
Hold on. Point of order. Point of order. Motion. We have a motion
and a second. It's on the floor.
We have a.
What's on the floor right
we
now.
We have a motion for those who may not have heard. We have a motion to suspend the rules to allow, once we finish the business, which we just have some zoning cases, everyone who's here who would like to speak will have an opportunity to speak. Any further discussion?
Correct. Record vote.
No discussion?
I just have one question.
Just a moment.
Can you allow one speaker?
Just a moment. Just a moment. We are in the discussion. If someone would like
at
to.
At the end, we'll let you speak.
Okay, thank you.
Record vote.
Okay. Any more discussion?
Yes,
hearing none, the request is for a record vote.
I have discussion.
Okay, you have discussion? Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. We only have a few items to get finished, and then obviously we'll set. We always do this every meeting. There's nothing any different from this process from that we've ever had.
Right.
All the speakers are always allowed to speak at the end of the meeting. We said that. The mayor, Mayor Rollins, said that. You've said that. Everybody said the same thing. I don't know why there's this understanding that that's not going to happen. Let's get.
You out of order. Allow.
Let's get
Councilman
the
Callahan
items that we've got in front of this business. Let's get that done, and then we can hear our afternoon speakers like we always do.
All right. Any more discussion?
Mr. Callahan. Yeah, thank you. I support Mr. Narva's motion to hear all the speakers at the open mic at the end of the meeting.
Okay. All right. I'm going to carry the motion forward. All in favor, vote aye.
Mr. Thompson.
Point of order.
You didn't call me.
I'm sorry. Okay. Mr. Atkins. Thank you.
Thank you, Omar, make that statement. The point is that thank you for coming down. That's number one. It showed that unity. It's showing that the community is coming together. We are councilmen. We are here to listen to you. And unfortunately that what's going on is going on. You understand what I'm saying? But number two, we got to get along. We got to make sure that we are doing what we're doing right. We are here behind you 100%. So therefore, we're gonna sit and listen to you. And we thank you for coming down. Again, God bless you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. All those in favor,
Mayor,
vote aye.
Mayor, point of clarification.
Yes.
My understanding is he wanted to do that now, not proceed.
No.
Why do we
no.
need to suspend
the motion?
The
open mic.
Let me allow the city secretary to repeat the motion.
To hear
everyone. Let me allow the city secretary to repeat the motion. Go ahead.
That. Right, to hear all of the speakers
at the end
of the meeting after the open microphone speakers.
Right. Okay. Any more discussion? All those in favor vote aye.
Aye.
All opposed the same sign. All right. Thank you. Item 65.
Item 65.
If you see the agenda, we only have a few more zoning cases. Then what we can do, if a council member makes a recommendation, then we can move her up, and then we can move forward. Okay? All right. Item 65.
Item 65. The item was read into the record. Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Can we we have a motion on the floor? Mr. Magoo, thank you.
I move to deny this without prejudice.
Second. All right. It's been motioned and seconded that he denies without prejudice. Any discussion?
Yes.
Go ahead.
If I could get legal to come up.
Bert Vandenberg, Assistant City Attorney.
Thank you very much. As I understand it, and there was a question last time this was brought up, that if we supported or if we opposed this billboard, that there would be a financial implication on the city, but I understand that's not the case, and I wanted to make sure that my colleagues understand that as well.
In short, that is correct. The people removing the relocation or the removal of the sign is done by TxDOT, not by the municipality. Therefore, they hold the liability. In short.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Ms. Grayson.
Sorry. I had actually thought that wasn't accurate. I am thrilled if that's the case, but I had actually thought the TxDOT bounced that back to cities to say that if you deny moving one of these because of a road project, the city incurs the liability and has to pay off the billboard. If that is not the case, I am delighted. We can deny this. I'm with all the speakers who said they hate billboards. I hate billboards. So, really, Bert?
Really. It was in the legislature last
year. Get that mic closer,
Bert,
to you.
Oh,
I'm sorry. It did not
mic.
Make it out of committee. That was a motion. That was a bill from the legislature last session that did not make it out of the committee.
Excellent, 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 because I was going to ask Mr. Kleinman to include something in our legislative program related to billboards. So thank you for that. And thank you, Mr. Magoo, for the denial. Excellent.
Ms. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I'm just intrigued that staff's for it, CPC's for it, or you just, from a personal point of view, you're opposed to it? Or, I mean, I'm not a big billboard guy either, but I just wondered why there's such a variant.
You want to address Mr. Magoo?
Yes.
You like him to ask the question,
Mr. Magoo?
I'm looking
at him, so he's nodding. So
a couple of reasons. First, there was enough opposition around this council, I believe, because it required a supermajority, at least at the onset. The applicant has gone back and talked to the opposition, and I understand there may be some agreement there. The second point is I get a lot of feedback from the community on this particular billboard. One of the speakers commented about it earlier. It has done nothing over the last months and years but talk about gonorrhea and syphilis, and having to explain that to my kids and the community has not been helpful.
Well, thank you for that information.
All right. Ms. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. May I address Mr. Magoo?
Yes, you may.
Mr. Magoo, your motion is to deny without prejudice. I don't understand why you wouldn't just deny this with prejudice to save the community the 2 years of worrying about if somebody's going to bring this back.
It's a fair question. It's mainly because I just got the legal opinion last night, and the applicant hadn't had a chance to meet with them and tell them what was going on. And, you know, they have the right, I guess, to find another location, and I wanted to give them the chance to make the process work. If it does or does not, then I'm willing to deal with it again, but I think they can get an idea of what the will of the council is at this point.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I don't understand. If the location is not appropriate for a billboard, then it's not appropriate for a billboard, and a denial without prejudice sends a mixed signal. I'm confused by the motion. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Magoo? No. All right. All those in favor vote aye. All opposed, the same sign. Next item.
Agenda item 66, a public hearing to receive comments on a 77.79 cents per $100 property tax rate for the 2018-19 fiscal year as discussed on August 22, 2018. City Council will vote to adopt a tax rate on Tuesday, September 18th, 2018 at Dallas City Hall, 6 East South at 9 a.m. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on this item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
All right. We have a motion. We get a second. Second. Any discussion? Ms. Klein.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If people want justice in the city, they should pay attention to their property taxes, because this council is raising your taxes. I'm glad folks are here for another reason, but when you go home and get that tax bill, you can also blame this council for raising your taxes. That's what's going on right here and right now. If you don't think that there's money available for all the services we need to deliver within the budget, it's there, but this council cannot act like an adult and work within a budget. We are now going to pass on a tax increase to our citizens that's completely unjustified. Part of that tax increase includes a raise for police and fire above and beyond the contract that they signed 2 years ago. So they're breaking the contract and getting a raise so that we can pass on more taxes to you. I am very opposed to this on so many levels. And just the events of the last week or so have shown that we need to think twice about who we're paying and how we're paying them, because, you know, we got one side, we got folks screaming for justice. On the other side, we got unions screaming for money. Seems like there should be a happy medium in there somewhere.
All right. Ms. Callahan.
Yeah, I'm happy to support this, because I think we're doing what the people have asked us to do. People want to be safer. They want more public safety investment, and therefore the chief, both chiefs, Coatney and Hall, they both indicated that they wanted to kind of erase the challenges they were having to recruit. And it appeared that without raising the pay to $60,000, we weren't going to get those recruits. Fire side was not as big of a problem, of course, but on the police side, it was clearly a problem. We've lost too many officers, and I think that's also has been a morale issue. So I think it was our responsibility to do that. Obviously, the city manager had a very good budget. Inside of there was all kinds of things that were very pro-neighborhood, like libraries and recreation centers and many other things. We want to fix our street repairs. We want to reduce or slow down the degradation of our streets, and we want to have money for sidewalks, and we want money for alleys, and we want more code inspectors. We want the dogs picked up. We have honestly, kind of a gluttonous amount of needs within the city, but that's just the way it is. But we're trying our best with the monies that we have made available to us to meet those needs. I didn't see any other way. We're trying our best to cut fat. We worked for 2 weeks, and I think we cut $700,000 or $800,000. I still think there's monies there that we can, but as long as people rush and say, no, don't cut my pot of money, I don't know what we're going to do. The good news is we're actually lowering the rate that we could have charged, you know, what we've done in the past. And, again, while we're not really shaving that much, we are showing 3 years in a row that we've reduced our tax rate. So it's a philosophical equation. But the fact remains is that we cannot go out and continue to bring people into our police academy if we're not going to pay them a competitive wage rate. And therefore, that's the reason I was proud to agree to pay them the $60,000. Now, we've got a lot more to do. You know, we've got a new meet and confer coming up. We have repaired the pension, and we've gotten rid of the pay referendum lawsuit. We've made a lot of changes there. I think equipment and police cars, all those things are important. But we've got to decide, folks. We've got to decide what kind of city we're going to have. If we're going to have a safe city, then we're going to have to invest in our public safety, whatever it takes. I hope that our city will continue to grow tax base-wise, sales tax-wise, and others to be able to do that. But I'm not ashamed at all for doing this. We did not raise taxes per se. Yeah, the collection of taxes is more, no doubt. But we didn't raise your tax rate to get there. But I think I think what we've done is actually a very intelligent, responsible thing. Thank you.
Ms. Klein, round two.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a couple points of clarification. There's plenty of room to cut this budget. I proposed 58 amendments totaling over $35 million from a list that the city manager provided to this entire council of the least important items in the budget. So there's plenty of opportunity not to raise your taxes, $35 million worth of it, for clarity. Secondly, this game of we are reducing your tax rate is total BS. Your taxes are going up. Thirdly, whether you're a renter or an owner, you pay property taxes. You pay it as part of your rent or you pay it as part of your mortgage. You pay it. Fourthly, and almost most importantly, is just the concept that we're going to raise your taxes and you're not really getting anything back for it. That's what's really unfortunate here. I appeal to my colleagues, and I appeal to the citizens not to put up with this. If there's one clearly financial part of oppression in the city, it's the way we tax our citizens, and it's unconscionable.
Right. Ms. Callahan, round two.
Yeah, thank you. Just a little rejoinder there. You know, yeah, there may be $35,000, but that's million. It's up to the council to make those decisions. We've got one more week. If it's the will of this council to cut up to those $35 million, so be it. But, again, if we do some of that, there's going to be some of that goes into public safety spending, enhancements, training, computer programming. There's a lot of things that the both chiefs have asked for to make improvements. We're also going to have to probably go into senior services, reduce recreation hours. You know, that may get involved with closing some swimming pools or pulling back the hours. It may also be the libraries. So I'm willing to take a meticulous look. I've been doing that. But we're going to all have to get around to something, you know, to get to eight votes. And that's a challenge on this council right now, getting to eight votes and basically relaxing some of the spending needs. So I'm willing to do it if my colleagues will join me. Thank you.
All right. Ms. Kleiman, third round, last round.
Thank you. Property taxes are the most regressive form of taxes out there. It hurts poor people more than it hurts rich people. It bites into your budget more, if you're poor more than it bites into your budget if you're rich. We are facing an affordable housing crisis in the city. We're just making housing more expensive in the city, and we're pushing that burden down on the poor. So don't think that like some of my colleagues may say, oh, we're just going to push this to North Dallas and make them pay these taxes. Well, maybe the majority of taxes come from North Dallas, but the majority of burden as a percentage of your income comes from the poor. And that's what property taxes do. They are regressive.
All right. All those in favor vote aye. All opposed, the same sign. All right.
To close the public hearing.
Right. The motion is to close the public hearing. Right. The motion is to close the public hearing. Everybody aware of
that? Did we ask for speakers on the public hearing?
Yes,
we did. All right. Next item.
Agenda item 67 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath properties owned by Brook 2121 IBLP, Brook 2025 IBLP, and Woodsaw Partners LP, located near the intersection of Irving Boulevard and Manufacturing Street and adjacent street rights-of-way. In an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to Brook 2121 IBLP by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as potable water. I am required to read the following statement. Pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or licensed representative of the applicant who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Would that individual please come to the podium and identify yourself?
Hi, I'm Steve George. I'm with Green Star Environmental, and I'm here to answer any questions anyone might have with regard to this municipal settings designation.
Thank you. Are there any speakers in the audience that would like to speak on this item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
All right. We entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second. It's been properly motioned and seconded. Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor vote aye. All opposed, the same sign. Next item.
Agenda item 68, a public hearing to receive comments on readopting and continuing in effect Chapter 12, City Youth Program Standards of Care of the Dallas City Code to reestablish standards of care for certain city youth programs in compliance with state law. And at the close of the public hearing, approval of an ordinance to readopt Chapter 12 of the Dallas City Code. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor?
All right. Move approval. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor vote aye. All opposed, the same sign. Next item.
The following addendum items will be considered collectively as they all are public hearings for public improvement districts. Addendum items 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13, 15, 17, 19, 21, 22, 24, and 26. They are public hearings concerning the proposed levy of assessments for Dallas Downtown Improvement District, Deep Ellum Public Improvement District, Clyde Warren Park, Dallas Arts, Dallas Public Improvement District, Knox Street Public Improvement District, Lake Highlands Public Improvement District, North Lake Highlands Public Improvement District, Oaklawn Highline Public Improvement District, Prestonwood Public Improvement District, Southside Public Improvement District, University Crossing Public Improvement District, Uptown Public Improvement District, Vickery Meadow Public Improvement District, and Tourism Public Improvement District, in accordance with Chapter 372 of the Texas Local Government Code, for the purpose of providing supplemental public services to be funded by assessments on properties in the district, and at the close of the public hearings, authorize ordinances approving and adopting the final 2019 service plans, final 2018 assessment plans, and 2018 assessment rolls to be kept on file with the city secretary, establishing classifications for the apportionment of cost and the methods of assessing special assessments for the services and improvements to properties in the district, closing the hearings, and levying special assessments on properties in the district for services and improvements to be provided during 2019, providing for reimbursement of city administrative costs for operational oversight of the districts, fixing charges and liens against the properties in the districts and against the owners thereof, providing for the collection of the 2018 assessments, authorizing the receipt and deposit of assessments from Dallas County pursuant to an amendment to the management contract with authorizing the disbursement of assessments to Downtown Dallas, Inc., Deep Ellum Foundation, Woodall Rogers Park Foundation, Knox Street Public Improvement District Corporation, Lake Highlands Public Improvement District Corporation, North Lake Highlands Public Improvement District Corporation, Oaklawn Highline Public Improvement District Corporation, Prestonwood Homeowners Association, Southside Quarter Development Corporation, University Crossing Improvement Public Improvement District Corporation, Uptown Dallas, Inc., Vickery Meadow Management Corporation, and Tourism Public Improvement District, providing for city participation in the Dallas Downtown Improvement District in an amount not to exceed $715,238.85, authorizing payment of city's 2018 assessments directly to the Dallas Downtown Improvement District, and providing an effective date. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on any of the public hearings for any of the public improvement districts that were just read into the record? Please come forward, state your name and address for the record, and also which public improvement district you're speaking on.
How you doing? My name is Troy. My address is 3230 Jerome Street, Dallas, Texas. I just noticed one thing, that none of these park improvements affected the southern sector of Dallas County. It was all northern Dallas, and I just want to know if we're going to spend any funds on building up our community parks and our community centers and our community recreations and our community pools and our community educational systems for our kids so they can have after-school programs to keep them out the streets, you know, and not build up Clyde Warren Park, is big already by itself. Clyde Warren Park needs nothing else. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak on any of the public improvement districts that were just read into the record? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Can I entertain a motion?
Move to close the public hearing and adopt the management contracts and authorize the payment of the city's
Just a public hearing. This is just a public hearing. I will come back with
Oh, I thought you read in the...
Just a public hearing.
All right. Second. All right. Before Ms. Gracie came off, just for clarification, to respond to the speaker, there is a PID. It's a new PID, South Dallas Fur Park PID, and that public improvement district was established specifically to address issues and concerns in the Fur Park South Dallas community. All those in favor vote aye. All opposed, the same sign. Next slide.
The second addendum items 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 23, 25, and 27 will be considered collectively. Those items authorize amended and restated management contracts with Downtown Dallas, Inc., Deep Ellum Foundation, Woodall Rogers Park Foundation, Knox Street Public Improvement District Corporation, Lake Highlands Public Improvement District Corporations, North Lake Highlands Public Improvement District Corporations, Oaklawn Highline Public Improvement District Corporations, Prestonwood Homeowners Association, Southside Quarter Development Corporation, University Crossing Public Improvement District Corporation, Uptown Dallas, Inc., and Vickery Meadow Management Corporation, nonprofit corporations designated as the management utility for the districts to reflect changes in the process for disbursement and assessment revenues, authorizing the city to disperse assessments to Downtown Dallas, Inc., Deep Ellum Foundation, Woodall Rogers Park Foundation, Knox Street Public Improvement District Corporation, Lake Highlands Public Improvement District Corporations, North Lake Highlands Public Improvement District Corporations, Oaklawn Highline Public Improvement District Corporations, Prestonwood Homeowners Association, Southside Quarter Development Corporation, University Crossing Public Improvement District Corporation, Uptown Dallas, Inc., and Vickery Meadow Management Corporation, and to address other amendments to the agreement form.
All right. Can we get a motion? Can we get a second? Okay, it's been properly motioned and seconded. Ms. Grace.
Thank you, Mayor. I have some questions about this. Could I get a staff member to come and address them? Probably someone from the city attorney's office. Hi. So Barbara and Robin, why are we making these changes? Are there additional fees because of it to the PIDs? And what is the advantage to making these changes in the contracts?
Good afternoon, Council Members. Robin Bentley with the Office of Economic Development. The management, I'm assuming you're asking about the management agreement specifically?
Say that again, please.
Are you asking about the management agreement? Why
I'm
are we changing those?
The ones that are being changed. Mm-hmm. I guess the management agreements that now send the dollars to the city to give back to the PIDs instead of having the county give it to the PIDs?
That is correct. So
yes.
All of the management agreements are being amended because the county used to deliver the funds directly to the PID management companies. Going forward, they told us that they'll be delivering the funds to us. And we're in charge of dispersing the funds to the management companies. None of our management agreements sort of address that at all, how that would work procedurally. And so we're amending them to add in that provision that the funds will be coming from us, that we'll be withholding a percentage to take care of any property accounts that are protested and get a refund, which the county previously handled, all that sort of thing.
And yet the county is still taking a fee.
That is correct.
So the fee hasn't changed. They're doing less, but the fee hasn't changed. And are we adding an additional fee for our handling, or are we not?
We are not adding a handling fee, but we always collect our staff admin.
So how much is that fee?
In the past, we've never actually collected it. We always tally it up, but have never asked for reimbursement from the PIDs. This year, since we'll be processing the funds, we'll net out our admin on each payment. So I don't have a good number. We've never actually collected it. It's just in the contract thing that we can collect it.
So we don't know what fee the PIDs are going to be paying? An additional fee in addition to the one they've paid the county all along.
Mm-hmm.
We paid the county a fee. They're doing much less, but we're not reducing their fee at all, and we're going to add some sort of fee that we'll figure out at some point.
So the county's fee is set by contract. They have a contract with the city to process the accounts and collect on our behalf. They don't have to collect the PID assessments. We could send out all the mailings and collect it, but they tack it on to the property tax bill, and for that they charge a per account fee, I believe, of $2.75. Our admin fee, we've been tallying it up over time. We've never charged it to the PIDs. We're working on negotiating how we can collect previous admin, but going forward, we will be netting our admin costs out. I can get a cost from our staff of what their average administration has been. It's not been a lot because we don't process invoices. We just sort of pass along the fees, do the audit at the end of the year, just generally make sure that the funds are being administered in compliance with the service plan.
I don't see how this is an improvement on anything. At a minimum, right, we should reduce the fee that the counties, because before they used to not just tack it on to the bill, they used to send payments monthly.
That's right. And we asked the county if they would reduce their fee. At this time, they've said they are not willing to reduce their fee.
What a surprise. I just don't see how I could be supportive of this. I just don't see any advantage to the PIDs from these actions.
Right. I understand the comment. It's just practically we don't have a contractual obligation to pass those along to the management company. So the amendment is really just to add in that function to say how we'll send funds over, because the county pushed them daily. I don't have staff capacity to make daily payments to the PIDs, so it's explaining how that process will work.
Well, thank you for your responses. Again, I just don't see any advantage to this.
Thank you, Ms. Grace. Mr. Kleinman.
Thank you. I also have a question for staff. In the formation of these PIDs, what percentage of the property owners have to agree to this additional tax?
Right. It's a different percentage under state law and under our current policy. Under state law, I believe it's 50%. I'm looking at the attorneys for confirmation.
But
our policy is 60% generally, and if it's a residential PID, 66.7%. And I think that may reflect why there are so few PIDs in South Dallas, because they're mostly residential areas.
Okay.
And
Robin,
we've imposed that higher.
That. Okay.
Fair enough.
Thank you. So between 33% and 40% of the people could say they do not want to have this additional tax burden, but the other people could just impose it on them?
Under our current policy,
yeah,
yes.
I cannot support this, because it's imposing taxes on people that don't even agree to it, by other people that just want it, much like the council has done with the tax rate.
Ms. Gates.
Thank you. The agreement that we had with the county, and it called for what they were doing, and then they were charging this, what did you say, $225?
$275 per property.
$275. So, and now they're saying they're not going to disperse the money to the PIDs. So aren't they, I mean, aren't they contractually obligated to do that?
They're contractually obligated to collect the funding. I don't believe the contract addresses how the funding gets to the PID management contracts. In the past, they've taken care of it, but going forward, they said they're not doing that. They're going to push it with our general.
Well, did we look at that contract to make sure? I mean, if they established that with the $275. I mean, I'm going to approve this, because I think, I mean, we have to get the money to the PIDs. I'm not going to prevent that from happening. But it's a little troublesome that the county had a function and then just told us they weren't going to do it, and then they didn't reduce their fees related to it.
No, it's a collection per account, and it's to put the PID assessment on the same bill as the tax bill.
So did they have an agreement, though? Was it a written agreement with it that they would do that?
We have a contract with the county for tax and for PIDA collection.
But it didn't include the distribution of it?
No.
But they just started doing that? What was there discussion of how that was going to happen? There had to, when we set these PIDs up, there had to be a discussion of how they were going to get back to the PIDs.
Right. Since we've had PIDs in Dallas, they've always taken care of collection and disbursement. Last year, they decided they would no longer do that, which is why we've been making plans to amend these contracts, because it's not a contractual obligation for the county to do it, and they've decided they're no longer willing to do it. and the $275 fee was really just for collections, and so it leaves us in a tough spot of we're going to get the funds, we have to pass them along, but our management contract just doesn't address it.
So I'm assuming are all the PIDs aware, the directors of the PIDs, that this in their boards? You've been working with them to establish this process?
We have an annual meeting every year, and they were all made aware that this process is changing.
Okay. All right. I think if I don't support it, then they won't be getting their money. So I think I'm kind of we're behind, and we're collecting the money, so I'm going to support that part of it. But it's a little disappointing that the county can amend, continue the practice, or at least amend their fee.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Gates. All those in favor vote aye. All opposed, the same sign. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right. Motion passes.
Mr. Mayor, this concludes your voting agenda, afternoon voting agenda. We'll now go back to your open microphone speakers.
All right.
I'll recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the City Council shall be removed from the room. Individuals are given 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the time at the podium. When your time is up, please stop and address your comments to Mayor Thomas only.
Okay.
Your first speaker, registered speaker, is Rhonda Chu.
I'm Pamela Grayson. I'm
right. What we're doing is we have a list of registered speakers. Once we finish the list of registered speakers, then everyone else will have an opportunity to speak. And ma'am, Dr. Grayson, right?
Yeah, that's right.
We'll make sure you'll be the first person after we finish the registered speakers, okay? Thank you.
Rhonda Chu, not present. Donald Williams, not present. Daryl Kennebrew, not present. Brian Sanders, not present.
Come on.
Curtis Jones.
Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones, you have 3 minutes and address your comments to me.
Thank you. My name is Curtis Jones, and I'm here because I was here about a month ago when you was the council.
Yeah, so we can hear you. Speak right into the mic.
My name is Curtis Jones.
There you go.
I was here about a month ago when the council was speaking on trying to get a lot of help for the homelessness. And you were speaking on one of these hospitals spending $20 million. But my main concern was I'm trying to get my property at 1021 East Wheatland Road, whereas the city is causing me a delay because the city has lost some of its paperwork that's controlling my land. My councilman is Tunnell Atkins here, and I'm trying to get the city to make some determinations and some conclusions about getting my land deed restriction removed. I've gone through the process, but the city is lacking some of its materials, and it's holding me from making my sale. And if you can come to some type of agreement, whereas the city said that I do not have a deed restriction, but I was here in your housing, and I'm getting all kinds of different conclusions on if I have this or not. But I'd like for you to make a effort, and the mayor had Ms. Hardy to speak and to try to find some paperwork, but I haven't heard anything else. I'm willing to sell my land to the city so that when they were speaking about trying to help the homelessness and everything, I'm willing to sell my land to the city because I've had so many problems dealing with the city on this land and some other properties that I have. And if the city really wants some development in the southern sector, they could use that area there to help with the homelessness, or they could also use it to help with veterans. The Veterans Administration has a lot of money trying to get transitional housing for veterans. And so many new projects with these existing projects, apartments are using some of those funds to get transitional housing for veterans as they're doing Section 8. But I need someone to get back in touch with me, not just keep giving me a whitewash about this, because I've had some offers, and if the city would go ahead and finish bringing their parada out to that area, it could be more revenues that would come into the city. Please get in contact with me about this. My name is Curtis Jones, 469-309-3761. I'm a disabled Vietnam combat veteran.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Mr. Ackes.
Yeah, Mr. Jones.
Mr. Jones.
If you go there to one of the police officers there, and we'll get somebody in the staff, and we'll get with you and try to find out the deed restriction. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Next speaker.
Dominique Alexander, not present. Melody Kuntz. Melody.
Greetings. Is it appropriate to yield my time to the lady that is waiting to speak, and I will speak at the open mic? Is that appropriate?
Yes.
Thank you so very much.
Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Dr. Pamela Grayson. My address is 359 Linkwood Drive, Duncanville, Texas, 75137. And what I'm asking is that you all please look at me. I'm asking for eye contact. For all of you sitting up there,
Dr. Grayson, bring the mic closer to you so we can hear
you. I want you to see me.
There you go.
I'm asking you all to look at me. I am a person. And I know there's a lot of us here, and we've yelled and hollered, and what you see is a lot of people of color yelling. But we are people. Passionate people. I graduated from college. My first job out was an educator. I was a teacher. I loved it. I remember having the police come to my classroom, giving out the little coloring books, taking my children to visit the local police department and in jail cells and telling them this is the only time Miss Grayson wants you to see a jail cell ever. Police will protect you, and that's all we want you to do with the police. I moved on. I went to corporate America. By the age of 28, I was a general manager of a tier two supplier to the big three. I signed the front of the people's paychecks. I left there, and then I went to another position for a major food producer in the United States. They only had 13 people in the world that held this position, and I was the first black woman. I was raised in a wealthy family. Grayson's had money back in the day before NAFTA occurred, and it hurt the small businesses. So I was raised on the right side of the track. I have command of the King's English. Just so you know, I'm not some welfare chick that doesn't have a job that can be here at noon. I'm an educator. I teach children in other countries. I've been up since 4 a.m. I taught my kids, did my work, and then came down here. And when I leave here, I'll go pick up my son. I have two sons. Two sons. One is 23, and he is a top salesperson for a major telecommunications network company. My other child is 6. Yes, they're 18 years apart. I did that to myself. I think I contributed to two generations. But my other child is 6, born under duress, a special needs child. But because of the mother I am and the God I serve, they told me my child would be in special ed for the rest of his life. He didn't speak till he was 3. The reason y'all hearing me first is because I got to go pick him up. Because he has been released from special ed, and my child reads a grade level above his peers. That's what Dr. Grayson did. And just so you know, my doctorate degree is from a predominantly white institution here in your great city. I'm nothing near stupid and far from dumb. But what hurts me is I've got to tell my 6-year-old, you can't trust law enforcement. The conflict, mama, police are supposed to protect me. But I can't tell him that because the man was killed in his own home. Help me. Give me a solution. What do I tell my baby? I need you all to help me.
We'll give you an additional minute, Ms. Grace, Dr. Grace.
I'm asking for the review board. with the subpoena power, with a budget. I'm a person. I have never been in trouble outside of a speeding ticket. I obey the law. I pay my taxes. I deserve a modicum of respect. I deserve to live in the country that I believe in too. I didn't deserve to be walking downtown Monday evening and enduring pepper spray in my face. My six-year-old child's face, pepper spray. We were just walking. I'm a person. I don't want you to see me as some belligerent person of color, whatever that name may be. I want you, I'm Pam. If you knew me on a personal level, we'd be friends. Y'all would invite me for dinner, but after you saw me eat up your food that first time, it might happen just once. But y'all would invite me. We'd hang out together. I'm a person, and I deserve resolution.
Thank you, Dr. Grace.
Please vote for the board. Please. We need an independent board. Please. Thank you. Thank you for staying and listening. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. Now I got to go pick up that child that reads a grade level above his peers.
Thanks for being here.
Melanie Coons.
Greetings again. My name is Melody Kuntz. I live at 2421 Peabody Avenue, Dallas, Texas, 75215. I am here today because we came out in support of having a review board. And I, too, was at the rally and the march. And this is the thing that I've been sitting here. My husband is standing with me. I've been sitting here watching this procedure. And I would like to say, shame on you. This has been a farce. You have constantly used your procedures not to listen to the people. I know the procedures. And there are procedures that you could have used to allow the public to speak before now. So this is the way that we are treated in this country, in this city, and in this state. I have been to many marches. I have been all over this country, outside of the country. And the citizens of the country do not have to endure what you are calling pepper gas because you are doing your constitutional rights. You sit here calmly and you tell me to stay calm. That is not to be calm. You were not there. You didn't see the children that were there. You didn't see the police mounted on horses to intimidate the public right to protest. And you, the elected body, we elected you, we trust you. I know some of you. I voted for some of you. My council person is not here today. However, what I am saying to you is that this is a shame that we have had this tragedy in our community and we come to our elected body to speak truth to power, to ask for consideration, to demand justice. And when we get here, we're treated like an unwelcome guest. We're talked down to as if we do not know procedures. We do not understand the devastating effect of property taxes and how it is a tax against poor people more than anyone else. We understand that. We're here today to say that this must stop pretending that you're for the people when you use your power to suppress the people. This is not for television. This is not for applause. This is for justice. And we ask that our mayor, who walked out on the people and called for our mayor pro tem to come and sit in his stead, That's an interesting process within itself. That's racism on top of racism. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
Donna Smith, not present. Henry Bars, not present. Grace Harrison.
Yes, she's coming.
Forgive me as I try not to get emotional. I've been here in Texas since 2007. And in 2011, I started a youth organization called Give Them Hope. And just this year, Mayor Rollins gave me a proclamation about peace. But he doesn't do anything about it. And my heart is grieved. Because how many times do we have to sit by and watch people die? I have 7 children of my own. And they're all biracial children. My son turned 18 on Sunday, and I can't even watch him go out the front door without worrying about if a police officer is going to accost him and approach him because of how he looks. There's a problem, and we have to address it as a body. They want raises? Well, let's raise the level of standard. They want raises? Let's get the training done. You guys want to change everything. You want to change our taxes and charge us more money, but you're not protecting us. How do we tell our children to obey the laws of the land like the Bible says when these are the same people that they're supposed to be trusting? They can't. And they won't. So these same kids go out and turn into thugs and gangs. These same children go out and get pregnant at 14 or they commit suicide because they have no hope. But it's up to you guys. You have the position. I was coming through the front door. Councilman Shimwell is my nephew. How many biracial relationships do you see in Texas? But the racial profiling continues to happen. It's enough is enough. I'm tired of watching people die. Mayor Pro Tem, I'm begging you, do something different. Do something different. Our kids don't have a future at this point. They don't have nothing to look forward to. They see you guys doing nothing. And we sit back and you guys call us the troublemakers. Because we say no justice, no peace. But you guys do nothing to give us hope as parents, as citizens of this state. We have no hope. And I'm begging you, do something. I'm 46 years old. Do you know how many people and how many children alone I've had to watch die by the hands of an officer who has not even had a weapon to defend themselves? They walk away and get shot in the back. There's too many. It's enough is enough. We're tired. And it's not just the black community. It's not just the Hispanic community. We're all tired. All of us. We need a change. And it has to start with you guys. You have to change things, please. I'm beseeching you today. Make a change. Thank you.
This concludes your registered speakers. We will now hear further public comments from the audience.
All right. If you would like to speak, just come on down to the front. You can go first.
Do you need please state your name and address for the record.
Stop the clock. And security, if you could just kind of remove this guard right here, and we'll allow people to sit there, and we'll just take in the order as you come. Thank you.
I'm Leilani Russell. My address is 2101 North Haskell Avenue. Mm-hmm. Like the previous person said, excuse my emotions. I have watched you guys today. I watched your faces. I watched how you react to things. I watched how a mayor huffed and puffed as people spoke about how they're tired of being killed in the middle of the street for no reason. Dominique Alexander said, I know we can't get justice in the street, but can we at least get justice in our own home? A lot of you will never understand what that means because your white faces has the complexion for protection, and I do not. I see women up here on this board who are probably mothers. I'm a mother. And a few feet from my child, I got that pepper gas.
Do you know how it feels for your child to watch you hurt, choking on the ground? Do you know what that means? Do you know what it means to tell your six-year-old if there's no hope? You eyes sit high and you look low as if we are nothing. But the problem is we are people. Do you understand that if you keep pushing someone in the corner, they are eventually going to fight out? We outnumber you guys. We do. And no matter what you say, you might have the power. And you might tell us that we are minorities. But the reality is it's more of us than it are you. And at some point, we're going to get tired. And that peaceful little nigger that you are used to seeing is going to break its way out. Excuse my language. But at some point, we are going to have enough. Please. How many times do you have to be begged and pleaded? Do I have to lay my body on the floor and bleed out for you to say enough is enough? I'm tired. I had the vice president of the police association tell me in 2016 that the reason that you guys back police so much is because if you don't, the citizens will be, it will be in chaos and mayhem. But if you guys understand that if you do what's right and you convict an officer who is wrong for not manslaughter, but murder is what it is, and you guys stand behind us, I promise you we'll be there for you every step of the way and we won't leave your side. We are the most supportive, the most standing people. And if you support and stand with us, we will do the same for you. You guys are elected officials. This is not permanent. And if you do not do something, I will take your seat personally. I will. My name is Leilani Russell. Do not forget it. My daughter is looking up to you guys. You black woman, she sees you as a reflection of her. You black man, my son sees you as a reflection of him. You black man, understand that we need you. Today, now.
Thank you.
Next speaker. My name is Dee Crane. I live in Arlington, Texas. On last year in February, my son, Travis Crane, was murdered by an Arlington police officer. I still have not got justice. Since February of last year, even to this year, I have not gotten anything. Then my son, my dead son, has a twin brother, 15 months to the day of his death. Dallas County Sheriff's Department sent a warrant to Tarrant County Sheriff's Department to arrest my dead son, who has a twin brother that lives with my mother. And it made it seem like we were lying when someone said that the person, the suspect, fit the profile, lived in that house. Yes, his twin. My six-year-old asked me when he sees a police officer, "Mom, is that a good cop or a bad?" I say, "I don't know." How many times, as a little girl, I was told that a police officer was supposed to be my friend. Today, I'm in fear of them. If I make the wrong move, if I say the wrong thing, if I grab my child too fast, will they kill me? Will they go to my mother's house and knock on her door? And if she answers it wrong, will she die? As this morning, when I got up and I knew I was coming here, I had the utmost respect for you guys as mayor. Now, I do not have respect at all for him. As an elective official, you are supposed to hear us. Sit in those hot seats and hear us. Whether you want to or not, we as taxpayers pay your checks too. We as taxpayers are asking you to help us as black people and brown to have a stance against the blue. At the end of the day, these blue officers take off their uniform. At the end of the day, I do not shed a color. I am a proud mother. I'm a proud wife. I'm a proud sister. I'm a proud daughter. I'm a proud black woman who is asking for help.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Olinka, before you speak, Ms. Alexander, since you are on the list, we have called your name. You want to speak now, you want to wait till after everybody else goes.
Again, my name is Olinka Green. I reside at 2708 Eagle Drive. I'm here today to address the shoehorn about a serious issue. At first, a little while ago, you heard my anger, and I have a righteous anger. I have a very righteous anger. There's an African proverb that says that the ruin of a nation starts in its people's home. That's the nation. I stand here as a black woman. I have two sons. I have a grandson. As Mrs. Lily said before, we're tired. We're very tired. I'm not begging, and I'm not pleading. I'm just going to state my case. Ms. Gates, do you have children? Do you have children? Ms. Grayson, do you have children? Do you have a son? Ms. Johnson, do you have a son? When your sons leave the door, do you pray that they come back the same way that they left? When you talk to your husband, do you kiss him and say, baby, I hope I see you later? When you're in the car with your husband, do you watch your husband's reaction when a police car gets behind him, whether he has his insurance in check or not? Alton Sterling. When your sons go out the house to a party with their friends, do you walk the floor and hope that you don't get a telephone call that your son's brains has been blown out in the back of a police car by somebody that was supposed to protect him? See, I won't address the men on this council because you don't give birth. You don't lay on the table for 10 hours or 9 hours and push out a baby and hold that baby in your arm and hope and pray that he lives a long life. See, I come from a people that every day we pray that our sons come home. We pray that our men come home. We sit by the telephone. We sit by the window. We call, we text, baby, you okay? And we worry until we get that text back. We hope and pray that our sons live to be 18 to go off to war, to go off to the Navy or the Army or corporate America. But when they go to Golden Gate or Evergreen, that's what happens. See, we live in a world that you don't even know. Ms. Gates, I hope you never have to know Mrs. Crane's pain. I hope you never have to know Mrs. Jean's pain. I hope you never know Mrs. Rodriguez's pain, Santos Rodriguez's mother. I hope you never know James Harper's mother's pain. Because that's a pain that even my friend here, Rashida, I hope you never know that pain of losing your child to somebody. Somebody that was supposed to uphold the standards for protecting. And yes, when we say Black Lives Matter, we mean Black Lives Matter.
Thank you, Ms. Green.
No. I'm a taxpaying citizen. I voted for you, so I got a right to say what I must say. I stand here in this body to say that my people, my family, we deserve dignity and not death. We deserve to live a long and prosperous life. And what we saw today, we saw disrespect. We saw disrespect by Mike Rollins, who's the person that's supposed to be over this city, walk out on us, turn his back. That's white supremacy. That's white supremacy. That's not recognizing us as a black people who have an issue. But yet when it comes to political things, y'all in our community. And as Lily said, if I got to come down here and sit in your seats, I will, and I make you this promise, and I put this on God, I'm going to make sure that everybody in my community goes out to vote. I'm going to make sure everybody in my community has a voter's registration card. If I got to take over somebody's precinct, sure, because y'all are inadequate to us. Y'all don't matter to us like we don't matter to y'all, because we put you in those seats. We make it comfortable for y'all. And if we're not comfortable, what the hell makes you think that you're going to be comfortable? Because our people are dying in the streets. There has been questions
that have not been answered.
Ms. Green,
I'm a taxpaying citizen, and I have my voter's registration card, and I have a right to speak.
3 minutes more, everybody's going to speak three
No, I'm speaking
more.
Right now. Thank you, sir. And if this man has to understand and respect what I'm saying, I'm square business about it. Because I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the death and the destruction. I'm tired of our people being seen as aggravated. Hell yeah, we're aggravated. And I'm a troublemaker because I'm troubled. My soul is troubled. My spirit is troubled. My body is troubled.
Thank you, Ms. Green.
Don't tell me to sit down. Because when we sit down,
we're trying to be respectful,
our words
of everybody's
are not heard.
Time.
But our bodies are still in the streets. Our boys are being killed. Our men are being taken away, and we're told that we don't matter just by this very body. We matter, damn it. We matter when we came to this country 500 years ago. We matter. We matter when that statue out there, that Confederate statue was put up. We stand on the body of who we are, and we will be recognized. Whether you recognize us today, or you will recognize us when it's time for your seat to be taken away. I'm a black woman. I'm a mother. I'm a citizen of this city. And I'm tired of seeing my people disrespected on everything. If it had been us that had shot a police officer, we'd be up under the jail right now.
Ms. Green.
There would be no questions.
Ms. Green.
There would be no strict bond. We'd be locked up. And all we ask is Barbara Jordan say, give us the same that we give to you.
Ms. Green,
just as much. We want our respect, and we want answers.
You've had 6 minutes, Ms. Green. It's 3 minutes over, out of respect. I understand your concern. I've known you a long time, and I know your passion.
You don't know this one, Mr. Casey.
I know your passion.
This one right here. And you send these boys up here on me, I can walk myself. I don't need them because I don't trust them. I can't body show them.
Thank you very much.
Next speaker.
Before we have a next speaker, for those who may not have been in here, the mayor left out to have a meeting with Mr. Alexander and several other people and asked me to chair the meeting.
That meeting was requested to be in private,
and that's why the meeting took place when it did. Thank you.
Yeah, Dominique's not there, so why he's not here now?
Your time has started. Go
ahead. It's fine. Nicole London, you know who I am, and you're going to have to look me up if you want my address. So the point is, I've been coming down here for 5 years for Kyla London. When DISD Officer Bruneau broke her hand for walking out of class or for speaking at that board meeting the day before. So I have a problem with this. Y'all been putting stuff under the rug for a long, long time. A long, long time. So, I have a problem with this that I couldn't even come in here with a sign. I came all the way up here with the sign. Then I went downstairs, and then I go over there, and Mr. Brones is what he said, because he said I was saying his name wrong. But he had the nerve to say he was going to arrest me. Amber Geiger's at the house, man. She killed a man in his living room. And this Nick dude said he was going to arrest me? For what? I ain't committed no crime, but she did. She broke and entered. She broke in his house. Come on, she trespassed. What else can we say? So I have a problem with that you're going to say you're going to arrest me for no goddamn reason, man. For nothing. I didn't do nothing but have a sign in my hand.
Watch
your language.
We have children in
the audience. I understand. I had a sign in my hand, man. I mean, I don't understand. But you're killing our kids, so I don't understand that either. But I have a problem that I was going to get arrested for a sign. I mean, he told me to move, get back. I can have you arrested. Go ahead, man. Because you're going to be that fool at the end, man. Because I ain't did nothing wrong. But this lady is sitting at the house after she went in on his property. I need a lot of answers. I need to know how you can give a command in somebody else's stuff. That's his house. She had no business going in there giving orders. How you gonna give orders in somebody else's home? Make me understand that. You cannot go in nobody else's house and run it. I mean, I ain't never heard of that. I ain't never heard that you can go in somebody else's house and you run their home. Come on now. How do you forget where you live
and you patrol the damn streets. You patrol the streets and you don't know where you live. She's supposed to be fired on the spot. She's supposed to be fired on the spot. She don't know where she lives. She's supposed to be fired on the spot. I mean, and I don't understand that, because I didn't even come down here actually last week because he wasn't shot then. When I was coming down there, he was alive. So I had a problem with me not being able to speak. And that's another issue. You got a lady that don't even know what she's doing. You know, she sabotaged me speaking last week. She told me that it was a briefing, and she knew it wasn't. So, I mean, I have a problem with your operators making up stuff. And I know y'all hate it when I come down here. I understand. Because I've been fighting for justice for Kyla London for a long, long time, and we haven't got it. And then you gonna shoot this man in his dang own living room. Man, y'all ought to be ashamed of y'allself, and we will not re-elect y'all goddamn butts.
Thank you, Ms. London.
Next speaker.
My name is Rashida McLennan. I'm a descendant of American slaves on both sides of my family. Dallas was founded pretty much by the Klan. First government in Dallas was our Klan. It's well documented, which is part of my grief and my oppression in this city. I'm coming to you with facts, factual information, hopefully, that you will take to heart and try to change, because that's what we're here for. Reports have come out that we're the most segregated city, as we've heard Pastor Waters speak on earlier. And it's not by mistake, it's by government and banking and different business people coming together to make things this way. And then you tell us, with no opportunity and no hope, that we need to calm down and we need to shut up and we should find better ways to protest. I lost my son to these streets. I didn't lose him to police brutality. I lost him to ignorance in the streets because of the things that I've already mentioned. This is not a game to me. It should not be a game to anyone that's up here present that is supposed to be our voices. What is a city council without a city? I've seen the smirks. I've seen the dissension. I've seen us be looked at as three-fifths of a human being, as business as usual. And then you sit a black man in front of us to insult us, who has smirked and been condescending the whole time. Casey Thomas, I want to let you know the same thing that make you laugh, baby, will make you cry. Okay? The same thing they'll do to me, they'll do to you. But I hope we can correct the wrongs of this city. We must first admit we have a problem in order to fix it. And yes, we're angry. Yes, we're passionate. But it's because it's our life on the line. I'm tired of being a sitting duck. It hurts to know that he was killed in his living room and to have Casey Thomas sit in front of us smirking, following around the mayor like that's his most important job here. Pay attention. Make the proper changes. Stand up. It takes courage to do the right thing. It takes courage to do the right thing. And I hope you all do the right thing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Carol Harrison Lafayette. I live at 702 Warrior Trail, Grand Prairie, Texas. I have a 501c called Community Step Up. There's a lot of pain, hurt, and disappointment that's been caused in Dallas, especially lately. Any one of you all could have been both Jean and any other unarmed black male being killed, murdered by a policeman if you were black. in the mail. I have with me Raven Kelly. I have with me Clayton Harrison. We teach youth between the ages of 5 and the ages of 21 to do speeches, to come out and do protests when injustice is done. They were with me in a march. I also take in biracial children between the ages of 5 and 18 years of age who come from mothers who are white, who did not want their children, who's a victim of racism. I brought them, a group with me, to the protest, only to be shot with pepper ball. Pepper ball. I'm still kind of hoarse behind the coughing that I did. She was terrified. I brought her here 3 years ago from Oklahoma. I got a phone call from a mother who said, I can no longer raise up a black child anymore. She was a white mother. I brought her down here to try to show her what's right. She was in the protest and was very terrified. She was victimized. She was traumatized. Each and every one of you that sit here, you all were elected in by citizens who voted for you. We need you all. We need you all to do what's right. Do what's right. Is that hard to do? You know, they always say teamwork makes the dream work. And if you want this city to be a better city, it starts with you all. Don't be self-seeking, getting a name for yourself just to be known that you sit on city council. We need you all. I'm going to leave you with this question. Can you all do right?
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Yes, my name is Richard Ruffin. Address is 2703 Exeter Avenue, Dallas. I represent the Just Cause Coalition. I started this organization because of citizens that live in our district, that live in our city, on our side of town. They can't seem to get a fair shake when they come down here, when they're being trampled over by their rights. I have been dealing with this issue for almost 10 years. And some of you all remember me from the last time I came when I spoke with Mayor Rawlings, and thank you for making it back. Because I wanted to address this to you because I remember when I told you, ignoring the problems in the city is like ignoring cancer. If you keep on ignoring this, eventually it will take you out. And now we're looking at right now, and look at where we're at now. It ought to be an absolute disgrace that here we are, this is supposed to be a city that's supposed to be one of the top in the nation, and has now been reduced to a third world community because you can't control your police officers because they can take upon anything they want to do, and you all back them up. They have gotten out of control, and you all have just allocated and allotted, and y'all have enabled them to do all this. And I mean, I give this like an A plus, an I for absolute incompetence. Because you all have just sat here and just let it happen over and over again. How many more people have to die to prove the point? How many police officers have to die to prove you have to do something to get things regulated in this city? You're not controlling your own people. These people are supposed to be sworn to protect us and supposed to be to represent us. I mean, how many police officers here are proud to go to your jobs every day, knowing that the rest of everybody is looking at you with disdain? I mean, how many more people does it take? I mean, a man getting murdered in his own home is already, I mean, that's like as far as it can go. I mean, what's going to happen when people start killing police officers in their homes or in their cars and everything? Then they're going to say, we're wrong. But all the while, all we're asking for is like these people have been asking for all this time, is for respect and everything. That's all we're trying to do. Hate trying to sound like Aretha Franklin at this time, but hey, that seems like that's what we have to try to do because it seems like nothing's working. You all took an oath. All y'all took an oath to protect and uphold the Constitution. The Fifth Amendment, the first paragraph of the Fifth Amendment is prohibit abuse of authority by officials in the act of their duties. I think we quite got the message to how this has gone. We live in a world now, when I'm riding, I got to worry, looking behind myself. Every time I see a police car, when I see a police car behind me, I got to wonder, is this going to be the day the Grim Reaper comes? Can you just write me a ticket and just get it over with? We should not have to live under these conditions. Just because others don't have to worry about this, start trying to show some empathy, because empathy is the greatest form of intelligence that you can have, because we have too much apathy going on. And just like we was talking about as far as voting, we are getting voting drives going on, because we have to know the best way, just like we're trying to do in November, to get rid of the people who seem like they are not taking it, their job seriously, is to replace them with others that will. So the intervention is starting. So I would like to hope that you all are going to take it serious. Yes, we do need a police citizen review board. We need to curtail the police, because the police have made it plain that, hey, if we're right, I mean, if you're white, you're right. If you're black, we'll put you flat on your back. And we're not going to live that way. We shouldn't have to live that way.
Thank you, Mr. Ruff.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Melissa Perry, 2415 Taylor Street, Dallas, Texas, 75201. And I'll say 75201 again, because I could literally walk here within 3 minutes. Faster than y'all could have dispatched someone to arrest a murderer who went to Botham's house and plainly killed him. We've been taught too many times to be professionally right and be articulate and grow up to go to school and get degrees like I have to be gunned down in our own homes. Botham moved here and got a job, turned it into a career, and did all of the right things. All of the right things, just to end up murdered, like most of the excuses that you guys give for the reason why police go out and murder other people, that you claim to do the wrong things. So damned if you do, damned if you don't. But all of us here claim to be professionals, to have moral conscience, that have been elected to be put in these positions, have not done anything to protect everyone. So it doesn't matter if you go to school and you get a degree and you move here from a city that doesn't have much, or you come from the hood and make a better life for yourself, or move from a different country. You're still going to be treated as nothing. And the world is watching Dallas, Texas, as it always has, every time there's a situation, and still nothing is done. Y'all can arrest protesters, myself included, for protesting before you even know what the charge is. But you can't arrest an officer who goes to a house and murders somebody in their own home. And then you allow a narrative and an affidavit that is not true and doesn't make sense. So if any of you claim to be educated persons up here, do something about this. We need the review board. We need it. We demand the review board. Otherwise, we need a review board for each and every single one of you. And if we don't get that, we'll be the review board for every single one of you. Because I'm personally tired of wasting my own time when I'm supposed to be at work, my own energy that I could be spending doing other things that benefit others in this community on stuff like this. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. And to the people that wear the shield, you don't get paid enough for this. You volunteer to protect and serve. Protect and serve. And you're not doing that at all. So what's it to you if you stand up and do the right thing morally? We all know that there's not a lot of good cops out here anymore. We all know that. Y'all need to be drug tested like everybody else. Y'all all need a psychological evaluation just like everybody else. Y'all need to be policed. So that's why we need this review board. And for those cops that are good, do something right. Strike like teachers strike all over the world for the right thing. And then we'll start to trust you again. We don't want to be here again. We don't want to burn down our own cities. We don't want to continue to be the people just yelling and screaming. That's why I'm here today. I'm getting from behind Facebook, social media, because it's bigger than that. Because one day I'm going to have children, and I will be damned if they grow up in Dallas, if they're going to grow up to be treated like this.
Thank you for your time.
Next speaker.
I want to thank all of the community and the people who came out here to assemble today. I think the reason why we came here today is because we're tired of having to march in the streets. I don't like to have to go out to protest. I don't like the fact that I have to wake up in the morning and hear things like "die nigger" in the city of Dallas. I have to have about 7 threats to my life. And you know the reason why? It's because people in elected positions don't say nothing with policy, with laws. We can sit here and say all of these great words, but if we don't put policy in place, yet if we play this political narrative that this yet is an anti-police agenda and all of these different types of things, I just want to live. I want one day my 2 sons are going to come up with ideas for yet their life. They're going to come up with whatever city or wherever they want to grow and have their family. I want to have the confidence that Miss John had with sending her boy across the world. I want to know that Connor Alexander and Journey Alexander is going to come home. I want to know if they're going to be safe in their own living room. I told somebody the other day, I said, I know it's hard for us to get justice in the street, but can we get justice in our own living room? How we see an affidavit, it almost like this affidavit is trying to say that this officer can stand her own ground in somebody else's damn house. I'm just trying to find out where the law strikes. To the mayor, I understand we just had this meeting, and I understand we was able to get to an area of yet conclusion. Allow the community to speak. The reason why you see all of these different people out here is because in the city of Dallas, if you go to Live Dallas, the Dallas Convention Bureau, their area where they come from ain't even on the map. And yet nobody in this council has never talked about it. Their community is redlined by opportunities in their communities. North Dallas is giving $5 million for Costco. Where is a grocery store? Where is Essex Healthcare? Opportunity involved in our city. Where is our TIF district? Where is our opportunity in this city? But yet you want to talk about, oh yeah, there's violence in 75216, 75215. Those zip codes that sit in your city, yet has the largest, one of the largest ranks in the top 10 in this big old Texas, state of Texas, which you can put countries inside of the state of Texas, is the largest, most incarcerated zip code. And yet opportunity does not reign. Me and Chief Hall has been able to work diligently with coming up with these areas of policy. What we want this council to do is create the city of Dallas' first office of police civilian oversight with subpoena power and investigative power. It's on here. We've been meeting for a whole year forward. People have been meeting since the 80s. We need change yet in this city. And let me close with this real quick. We need change in this city. All of these people that's sitting out here have some kind of way been on front line. They have been out here. They're tired of coming here. That's why the anger is here. That's why the anger is here. We need for you guys to stand up. One thing I want to leave and close with is make these damn meetings be in the evening if this city wants to push transparency. This meeting needs to be in the evenings. People having to get off of work and come here at 9 a.m. is not transparency. Have y'all ever noticed that y'all are the only city in the Metroplex that have council agenda meetings during the day? That I am tired of the Dallas Citizens Council controlling this council. I am tired of their voices being louder than ours.
Thank you, Mr. Alexander.
Next speaker.
And just so you know, we approved in this budget that half of the meetings starting after October will be in the evenings throughout the city of Dallas. So that's already been approved.
Please state your name and address for the record. You may begin.
My name is Christy Latta. My address is 18333 Roehampton. Representative Grayson is my council representative. I come here today, like many of my fellow activist people, because I'm exhausted. And I know you guys are exhausted. I come here today because every time another person is shot, I think about the autopsies I've read. And I think about the families that are affected. And I see the pictures of those bodies. And I wonder if we've forgotten. And so there are a few things I would like to request of not just this body, but the officers in the room and the individuals who've come here today. I'm here to talk about standard operating procedure, what we would request of our police officers, as well as our council members. I want to talk about officer mental health. And I want to suggest that we do a few things since we live in the 21st century that would help unarmed people from being murdered in our nation. I want to talk about positive versus negative biofeedback. Currently, when an officer pulls a trigger, there is no feedback, no biofeedback. I think if you have a deadly weapon in your possession that is government issued, as our officers are given, you should receive a small shock if you pull the trigger. That would make you think twice before you shoot someone to take their life. I think that would be an easy thing that we could enable. I think that if you shoot someone and pull a trigger, a bright light should be shown from the barrel of the gun, and a loud warning, a voice from the gun that says, warning, you are about to take a life. You are about to use a deadly weapon. I think that if you are a new officer, someone new to the force, and you've only held your weapon for a limited amount of time, you should be required to check in your weapon and check out your weapon until we know that you know how to handle a deadly weapon. I think that as officers, we're going to ask a little bit of personal accountability, not just for you, but for your fellow police people. If you are tired, put your gun down. If you are sleep deprived, put your gun down. If you are grouchy, put your gun down. If you are grumpy, put your gun down. If you are exhausted, put your gun down. If you are sick, put your gun down. If you are overwhelmed, as many of us do become, because you are human beings, please put your gun down. If you are under duress, please put your gun down. If you get in a fight with your wife or your husband, please put your gun down. If you are suffering from a mental health issue or a mental disability, please put your gun down. We need you to help us when we have car accidents and when we are in danger. We do not need you to pepper spray us when we are out marching for rights of not just your rights, but our rights.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Josh Gude, 6322 Shady Brook Lane, Dallas, Texas, 75206, Garland, Texas native. Kind of what brought me in here today was I've been hearing a lot of anger and a lot of talk about race, and I have a very kind of unpopular belief that this really isn't a race thing. I mean, it was a mistake. It was a fluke. It's in the past when I was in college, I lived in an apartment complex. I moved apartment units. One day I came home, and the key wasn't working, and I kicked in the door, and it was not my apartment. And it's mistakes happen, and it's with that. I'm also a second lieutenant in the Texas Army National Guard, and before I was in that, I was held up at gunpoint, and to this day, I don't go anywhere really without a weapon besides here. And I mean, it could happen to anybody. So kind of what I'm asking is, I don't think a murder charge is the correct charge. Maybe manslaughter is correct. Maybe it's not. I don't know the law, but all I know.
Let's show the same respect to him that he showed everyone else.
All I know is that if I were to walk into what I thought was my apartment after a long day of work, and if I were to walk in and see somebody, it doesn't matter the color. If I see somebody in an apartment that I think is mine, I could have just as easily pulled the.
Excuse me.
I could
Excuse
have just
me.
As easily pulled my weapon and
Let's
taken
show
a life.
Him the same respect that was shown to you. Just because your opinion is different, let's respect that.
And it was an accident. That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing it's an accident. I'm not hearing anything about race. It was a mistake, and that is a mistake that she will have to live with for the rest of her life. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Next speaker.
Next speaker.
Next speaker. If you have something to say, you have opportunity to come to the mic.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Please state your name.
Time over again, please.
Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Robert Kuntz, and I live at 2421 Peabody, 75215. And I wasn't going to say anything because my wife had the privilege of saying what was on my heart, and I think she also shared what was everybody's heart. You know, it is time, and it is time out for us being shot on the street. We are being shot in our cars, and it's being videoed where the world can see, with kids in the back, and husbands or significant others on the side. We are tired of now it done went and escalated. Now we're getting shot in our homes. It's time out for that. And it is sad to see people here act like you don't have any understanding why people are upset. It's clear as day. And what I just heard is the built-in racism. For him to say what he said is straight out racism. You know, me and my wife were just sitting around talking. Do you know that being human, I'm aware of my surroundings. It has always been said to be aware is to be alive. I could not walk in nobody else's apartment talking about it's a mistake just because of my awareness. When things don't look right, we all have identified things in our surroundings. I cannot go on another floor thinking it's my floor because of the kind of person I am, and especially I've been trained to be aware. I know that sister girl next to me or my neighbor has flowers or have a welcome mat. I'm recognizing all this. And, you know, it's interesting that I'm standing here right now. It never came to my mind until now that police are trained to be aware. How can you park your car and not be aware that maybe the cars that you're familiar with is not there? How can you go on a floor that you are being trained and I just being human, it is my mindset to be aware. And you're going to tell me that our police have been trained. I can walk in somebody else's house, and I don't know that. That's insanity. And it's what we just heard, that quiet racism that tries to justify this wrong. It is totally wrong. Totally wrong. And nobody on this panel or anybody who have heard it, who have witnessed it, can justify that. It's absolutely absolutely wrong. Period. And it is sad for anybody to say what that young man said to justify a person's training as well as their knowing right from wrong. It is wrong. It's no justification. And she needs to have a murder charge because that's what took place. Murder took place again. And we cannot continue to ignore the fact that we get murdered on the street, we get murdered in our cars, and we get murdered in our homes, and there's no justification for it. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Next speaker.
I'm Stephanie Bryant. I'm with the Next Generation Action Network. I'm not comfortable giving my address. I am not a speaker on behalf of the community. I'm a supporter of the community. I did not come here with a speech ready. I didn't come here prepared to speak. I've done this in the past, and I got sick of giving the same speech with a different name added in. I was excited to see people with my complexion ready to come up and speak. And then I just witnessed that. And in that moment, I realized that I'm not a speaker, but I am not going to stand here and watch a person with my complexion use the words fluke. It is not a fluke. And people who look like me need to be standing here saying that and looking at each and every one of you and saying, do not fall for that. That is not a fluke. Killing somebody is not a fluke. I don't care if you think you walked in the wrong house. We all have a house smell, right? I walk into my house. I have a dog. I have a Scentsy burner. I smell like home. I smell my kid's perfume, her little body spray that she sprays all over herself. I know the smell of my home when I walk in. I don't even have to turn on the light. I don't even have to see a red mat. I don't have to see my couch to know it's my house. I don't even have to see the light switch at the door. I know the smell. I know the minute I open it, I know it's my house. It was already open. You should know it. You should know it. Yeah, it was already open. Open. It was ajar. Because that means that people can come in your house because the door is ajar. Yeah, big black shadow. Exactly. So I'm just saying, I'm just going to let my friends speak behind me because they haven't been heard. And honestly, a man just sat here, listened to all of my friends speak, and then came up here to actively tell you that death was justified because it was a fluke. That is not okay with me. Not okay.
Next speaker.
All right, Deion Williams, Dallas, Texas. I came to say that this really shouldn't be a difficult decision. It should be like a no-brainer to have a civil review board because we don't get joy out of coming out of here and protesting. I mean, we would much rather, it's a win-win for everybody if we would just get justice. We'd much rather prefer justice. It shouldn't be difficult. I mean, the police officers here, they're protecting someone who they shouldn't have to protect. It should be easy for them to come forward and just say, okay, well, they should be the ones in their home, but they're here. She's the one chilling. So all I'm saying is this civil review board just gives, with teeth and subpoena power, gives us the power to have a voice without you guys making our decisions. Period, point blank. It's not that difficult. It really should be a no-brainer. All right, thank you.
Next speaker.
He's coming down. You can come on down to the mic the way you have your time.
Now that I hear everything, I have a solution for this for everyone. So I would suggest...
If you don't mind, state your name.
My name is Minmin Lut. I would like to suggest to switch the primary officer's primary weapon to an electric taser. That should be the primary weapon against especially citizens who do not have any weapon on him or her. So that should be the first draw instead of the actual gun. And also replace the magazines with the rubber bullets instead of using an actual bullet against the citizens. So that'll save many lives. Then, you know, I'm sure officers are trained, well-trained to, you know, take down someone with bare hand to put them in handcuffs. So instead of... Okay, so, yeah, well, anyway, but it shouldn't be drawing an actual weapon at somebody just because. You can use your taser, you can use your stick, you know, whatever. You have many weapons in your belt, and you carry many magazines. Have at least one clip or two clip of rubber bullets. That way it'll save many lives. And that way you'll have a second thought. If you shoot somebody with a taser first, you know that person have an actual weapon on him or not. Then you can draw your secondary weapon, which is the actual gun. Then you can make your second decision. Then you will know whether this situation is being treated right or wrong. So that would be my suggestion for everyone. Instead of just arguing back and forth, I know this event has been happening many times all over the United States, and it has to stop one way or the other. So that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker. There are no further speakers.
I think he's coming down.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I had a budget. I missed the budget thing. I was going to speak on the budget. I had something prepared for it. This is not how I wanted to introduce myself to you. My name is Serrano Keith Baldio. I'm the president of the Dallas Pulse newspaper, which is going to be out soon. My wife and I moved from New Jersey to Dallas. She actually grew up here. And I had a newspaper there for 12 years. And I usually deal in government stuff. I remember there was a young black man that was hit by a police officer and left for dead. And I went after the city council, the senator who sat there was the BA. And until I got involved, they did nothing. I went after the prosecutor, and then they actually raised it. So before I got into my, I am going to talk about my budget stuff, but here's what I think happened, just my opinion. I think this officer lives downstairs. She was pissed off. There was a history of a noise problem because I had it here. Many times I wanted to go upstairs, and my wife said, no, don't. And I think she came home. There was a noise issue between her and this guy. She went up there with the intent to confront him. There is no ajar in Dallas. It's scary here. And I think she knocked on the door angry because of the noise. And he opened up. She confronted him, and it went where it went. That's what I think happened, and that's what needs to be looked into. That's intent when you went up there for that. Because she's downstairs. He's upstairs. So that's – I just want to put my two cents in. I didn't think I was going to get involved in this today. But back to the budget. I sat here. I went to the committee meetings. I looked at all you guys, and I asked the mayor. And I said, how much was the cost of raising of the amendments to the budget? I think it's $40 million and whatever the amendments were in the budget. And every time Councilwoman Gates and the committee tried to make the cuts to lower the budget, she got cut down. And she was struggling with that. And so you have the budget that the city manager gave, the amendments that nobody wants to make the cuts. And then on top of that, Councilman Magruder jacked up another $16 million for police, right? So on top of all of that, he made this, and 11 people voted for that. And so I'm asking myself, $11 million for police does not help the police. It's crumbs you're throwing to the new officers. Senior officers will never benefit from that. So Mr. Kleinman made a lot of cuts, so offers a lot of cuts in the budget, and he was shut down as well. This is the size of your budget, your city government. You have the money. You don't have to go after taxpayers. And it's right. You went after the black community when you raised key act tax on another $16 million to pay for officers, and you haven't yet fixed that relationship between officers and the money he's taking, the extra $16 million from them to pay those officers. I confronted him with this, and I said the mayor slammed him at a meeting in my district, and he took the mic away from me. Well, he had the officer take it. You don't do that. You don't know my newspaper, and he's going to learn the hard way not to do that. So it's the Dallas Pulse News. My email address is dallaspulse@gmail.com. You can contact me, and I'm just telling you, you need what the mayor says, an ROI. If you don't know what that means, look it up. A return on investment when you put money out. And that was a bad move, and I applaud Gates and Kleinman and the mayor for voting down that $60 million that's going to cops that's not going to help them when this problem is not yet fixed. And it's their tax dollars. Thank you. I'll come back and introduce myself the next time. Thank you.
Next speaker. There are no further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
All right. Were you coming down? No, she wasn't. All right. Thanks for coming down. It's 3:45. Meeting adjourned.